If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Can we steer away from gay people?
I hate Hollywood. Mason, if I could.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Oh, that's tight.
That's what she said.
Mohinder?
That's what she said.
Mohinder?
That's what she said.
Anna?
Ooh.
Room's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
Oh, wonderful. That's very good. I don't get it.
What balls this man has.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
Hi, this is Omar, and Ralph's Showbiz Report is up next.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
That's what she said.
What?
Roll another one.
Marijuana just ate his way of saying hi.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
Seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, a gateway to good times.
Don't bogart that joint.
You have drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just pass it around.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
And now,
smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine and hoping nothing goes wrong.
Our feature presentation.
I love messages like that because I'm guessing that they never once worked. Ever. Once.
No.
Not one time. 5:32. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. It is the 9th of March. Bow bow. Hard for me to sing early.
Today was, what's that? Huh?
Hard again? For me to sing early in the morning, you know, because I'm usually up late.
Oh, sure.
You know, like bands when they come in, they're really hungover, that kind of thing.
That's you.
Yeah.
Were you singing? What did I miss?
No, I was supposed to sing the March thing, but I just, you know.
He just kind of spoke
okay.
It.
Half-hearted.
It was spoken word.
I really half-hearted. It was a spoken word. Yeah. Thank you.
It was a choice you made.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, the problem is that Kevin doesn't want to be the Marching Obama guy, yet no one else does either, so he's stuck with it.
Well, clearly, because you just said Marching Obama guy.
Yeah, well,
didn't
look.
Even try either. Kevin, you're the guy. That's it. Accept it.
All right.
You are the guy.
Okay.
It's like being the guy that has to watch the god-awful award shows. You're
not
the
anymore.
Guy.
Not after this year's Oscars.
No,
I retired.
No, you cannot.
I quit.
Retire?
That's
Kevin
then you
doesn't...
I quit. That's right. I quit March.
All right, then.
How about that? How do you like that?
Wow.
I quit March. How about that?
We're on strike. I can't do it. I can't do it. The Oscars killed me this year. It really did.
Stop it.
It put me closer to the grave. It really did.
It's like childbirth. You'll forget by next year.
No.
You'll be all ready again. There'll be a different host.
Bean's been a couple of steps away.
Hopes will be renewed.
Bean's been a couple of steps away from the grave for his whole life, so this may have nudged him a bit.
That would be very
sad.
It
isn't that far.
Psycho Mike, are you going skiing after the show today? What's the deal with the hat?
Yeah, what possible... He's got headphones on over the... What would you call that?
It's one of the ski hats that has the...
Hat of Desire.
The Hat of Desire.
Yeah. It goes all the way down over his ears, and it's got long ropes hanging from it. So
yeah,
I
it's
guess
an Elmer Fudd hat is what it is.
I realized I can't unearth my chocolatey locks because
Lisa might submerge me in her juices. She's too excited.
I couldn't hold myself
luscious
back.
Hair.
So you're who are you?
You're covering your hair because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because you're too hot. It's like a woman who has to cover up her boobs because they're too distracting to the
exactly.
office.
I'm like Charlize Theron in Monster. I have to do whatever I can to just make myself ugly.
To ugly
oh,
down.
Oh, I see.
To protect yourself.
I asked him this morning, first thing in, what the hell?
Why? Yeah.
And he said, I don't. He really did. I think you just got dressed in your sleep, and well, this is how you ended up.
Sometimes, and I'm sure you guys can all relate, when you wake up early consistently, and you know, weird hours that we work, sometimes you cross over into a line of, like, you don't know when you're
delirium,
still asleep and still
yeah.
awake, and next thing I know, sometimes I'm just at work.
And there you are.
I haven't brushed my teeth. I got Nanook of the North's hat on. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and you're ready to snowboard, oddly enough.
All right, I'd like to start off today's show by playing one highlight from South Park. From this week,
because I heard it was great.
It was a new South Park this week, and it's my favorite show of all time.
11th season, by the way, debuted this week. 11 seasons of South Park. Who would have ever expected a little cartoon made out of construction paper would go 11 years?
Not Matt and Trey.
And here's why. This show opens with Stan's dad on Wheel of Fortune. He's playing the game. It's Alex Trebek. Is that the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Wheel of Fortune?
Pat Sajak.
He's Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's standing next to Pat Sajak, and they're doing the Wheel of Fortune. You know, they light up some of the letters so you can see what it is.
Right.
And the puzzle that's on the board is N blank G G E R S. And this is the clue.
The category is people who annoy you.
Okay.
Category is people who annoy you. Audience, keep quiet, please.
Well,
10 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
I know it, but I don't think I should say it.
5 seconds, Mr. Marsh.
All right, I'd like to solve the puzzle. Niggers! Huh? Oh.
It's an A.
Ooh.
Oh, naggers, of course. Naggers.
Oh, no.
And then the entire episode, they call him the end guy. As he's walking down the road, everybody says, hey, there's the end guy, except they actually use the word. It was awesome.
It's great.
South Park figured out a way to use that word 75 times, I think, in a half hour. And that's why I love that show.
It's to their credit that no one complains about South Park anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what they do. If they'd have put that same plot line on any other television show, there would be people lined up already to boycott the network.
And then, just like happens in real life, he had to go on the apology tour, and he had to go to Jesse Jackson and apologize to Jesse Jackson. And Jesse Jackson says, all right, I accept your apology, and pulls down his pants and turns around, sticks his bare ass out to him. And Stan's dad says, you want me? Yeah, and he said, kiss it. Apologize. Kiss it. That's what happens, apparently, behind closed doors when you apologize to Jesse Jackson, which I was not aware of.
But good times.
That's a great show, that South Park. I'm so glad it's back with new episodes. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
One of the best sites online for the weird, wacky stories is FARK.com, F-A-R-K. And you can find just about everything from all over the world. And the guy who runs it, Drew, is going to be in our studios today. He's always fascinating. I guess he's got a new book that's coming out. What's that about, Bean? Is it about these stories?
Yeah, it's the best of FARC. It's the most popular of the stories that that they have put up over the years. And he's just a guy who had the simplest idea in the world, by the way, and I think is filthy rich as a result of it, too.
Nice. Wow.
Best. One of those guys who is the right place, the right time for the internet revolution.
Movie beat today because it is Friday, so Ralph's going to tell you what movies are in the theaters. Can't wait to see 300 going today.
Are you?
Yep.
Looks great.
Very excited about that. Sam Jackson is going to be on the show. Samuel L. Jackson on our program.
Cool.
As a matter of fact, in about a half hour, talking about Black Snake Moan. Let's see, we got some highlights of our interview with My Chemical Romance about their current tour as they're coming to town this weekend. And speaking of that, we have tickets for you all day here on K-Rock to see My Chemical Romance. You also get a Nintendo Wii system if you win today. And you get backstage passes for this weekend for one of the nights. You get to go backstage and play the Nintendo Wii with My Chemical Romance.
Wow.
And then you get to keep it. That's pretty strong, right?
Yeah.
So that's this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show and all day here on K-Rock. We are going to talk to Kurt Russell. Have we had him on in a long time? We have.
Boy, if we have, it's been a real long time. But he's a terrific actor. He really is. He's good.
He's in
and
this.
I can't wait for this this new double feature that's coming out.
Yeah, this Grindhouse that's coming out. It's Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks awesome. Yeah. Really looks good. So we're going to talk to Kurt Russell today. We're going to talk about the vice president and how there's no silly little blood clot that can kill that man.
No. It's going to take a lot more than just a blood clot to kill Dick.
He will live forever. Kill Dick, by the way, opening Coachella.
Of course.
They're very good. And who would Lisa rather F is on today's Kevin.
Yay! Oh, good. It's been a while.
Very, very popular game that's
always
coming up.
Fun.
It's 5:39. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. Today is a very, very important special day here at K-Rock.
Friday.
Yes.
Woo! Don't Bogart joint, my friend.
Not just that. I mean, it is Friday.
Yeah, so that's special.
But today's a very special Friday because Rodney on the Rock is getting his star on the Walk of Fame today.
All right.
11:30 this morning, 7021 Hollywood Boulevard, by right in front of the Knitting Factory. And in his honor, we have prepared this.
And now, another great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
106.7 Caro Q. That's Tattoo. Those two girls who wear the schoolgirl uniforms that kiss each other whenever they play. You know, they were on Late Night with Jimmy Kimborn.
That was a great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
That Jimmy Kimborn does a good show.
Jamie Kimborn.
Jamie, yeah, he's good. And listen to Rodney in that clip. He sounds like he's chewing tobacco or something. Like, he's probably got sunflower seeds and diet right is probably
right.
What it is.
Addicted to sunflower seeds and diet right, you know, is chewing on a pigeon.
Never has a stranger person received a star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, truly.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a walk down the Walk of Fame?
Yeah, but I don't recognize half the names.
Take a look down. There's a whole bunch of freaks that don't belong there. Trust me. Okay. He's in good company.
Now, Rodney, in addition to the radio show, he was a hobbit in Lord of the Rings, too,
that's
right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to join him for the celebration, that's going to be, what'd you say, 11:30 down there in front of the... Okay, that's fantastic. That's today, and it's 5:48, Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Great star. I was talking to some of the production people regarding Rodney's star.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the guest list. They're trying to put together people to come out, people to come out for the big show that they're doing tonight for Rodney. It's going to be a big day-long event. And Rodney was saying, is Cher going to be there? Well, we don't know, Rodney. We haven't gotten the response back. Oh, I can't believe she hasn't gotten back yet. Kevin and Bean going to be there? No, Rodney. Good.
Oh,
that's what
that
said.
Hurts.
That's what he said. Swear to God. Good. Didn't want them there.
He's, well.
Bed rap.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. New York Daily News reports that Ugly Betty producer and actress Salma Hayek is pregnant with her first child.
Well, she has gained a lot of weight, that's for sure.
You know how I feel about
this. Yeah, supermodel shouldn't have babies.
They got Ugly Betty right there.
Right.
You got America Ferrari, or whatever the hell her name is. She is just passable. Just passable.
Right.
Even without the ugly makeup. You know, you dress her up.
That's not true.
Oh,
she
stop
is
it.
Pretty. She's
stop
a pretty girl.
It.
You're wrong.
Just stop it.
She's not pretty. She's
she
just
is
not
pretty.
As ugly as Ed Ross.
No,
and you spackle her up with makeup and you put her in some designer clothing, she is fine. She's passable, but she's no Selma Hayek.
So your point is Selma Hayek should have her carry the baby.
It's obvious. She's the boss. She's the executive producer of the show.
Sure.
Want to keep your job? Take the egg.
That's all this is going to work now?
Well,
absolutely.
I mean, part of being
with their jobs.
Part of being a good boss, Lisa, is delegating.
That's
you
right.
You delegate the difficult or unpleasant assignments, and this is one of them.
You all disgust me.
The dad is reportedly François-Henri Pinault.
Bastard.
François-Henri is the CEO of a company which owns Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent.
He's a fan.
Wow. Guess he's got a buck or two someplace.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, so Salma Hayek getting knocked up by a frog.
Way to start the day with some bad news.
Trust me.
Thanks, man.
Trust me, it's been one of those mornings. I get to 7-Eleven this morning.
Yeah.
They're out of the good lids.
No!
They're out of the good lids.
Look at this freaking thing I got.
Oh,
one of those
no.
fold-back dealies. It's supposed to pin down. It doesn't pin down. It's torn. It's all just for crap. You know how I feel about the lids on the coffee.
Sweetheart lids.
They got just racks and racks and racks of these.
Because those blow.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody wants them.
Right.
The good ones, the vacuum-formed ones, not there.
Not there.
I thought you took care of that. I thought we had 7-Eleven on.
I
they promised
too.
You. They
you
were
know what
done.
It is? You know what the problem is? They're like kids. If you don't stay on top of them, they get lax.
Freaking 7-Eleven. It's our job to stay on top of 7-Eleven.
They start screwing around and they don't pay attention. And then this is what this happens. Because I've been too nice to them. I left alone for a while.
You have.
Make a note to have Ugly Betty take care of that. Get those right there in the stores, please.
Betty? Betty? Well, yesterday was confirmed. We told you that rumors were that Eddie Van Halen had left rehearsals for the reunion tour for Van Halen because he was going into rehab for his alcohol and substance addictions. Well, he addressed it yesterday on his website, vanhalen.com. He wrote a message to his fans, and it reads as follows. I would like Van Halen fans to know how much I truly appreciate each and every one of you. Without you, there is no Van Halen. I've always and will always feel a responsibility to give you my best. At the moment, I do not feel I can give you my best. That's why I've decided to enter a rehabilitation facility to work on myself so that in the future, I can deliver 110% that I feel that I owe you and want to give you. Aw, he's doing it for us. Eddie's doing it for us.
Oh, that's nice.
Really, more importantly, there's no Van Halen without Eddie.
That's true, yeah. Whatever with us, we need him. So Eddie said he's going to go through rehab, and he hopes that in later in 2007, 2008, we'll see more Van Halen, but who knows. Just when you thought you could put the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing to rest.
Anna.
A story from the Bahamas say the cops have uncovered new evidence in the investigation into her death.
Fantastic.
That means the autopsy results will be delayed again. And the medical examiner's office now says the final results will be out in a week or two. We'll finally get those toxicology reports.
I'm glad they are taking the investigation seriously rather than just, you know, bury her as quickly as possible, because there is something hinky about the way she died and who was involved and maybe who could have and should have helped her.
Hmm, yeah. What could be mean by that?
Who could be involved? It looks a little effing shaky.
Man.
I'm just saying.
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World.
Anna?
It's Howard K. Stern right there. Sam.
He's been around a lot of deaths lately.
Yes, he has.
Godfather of soul, James Brown? Still dead. Not buried.
How can he still not be buried?
Not buried.
It's mid-March. He died on Christmas Day.
Not buried.
Is he on tour or anything, Ralph? Is that what it is?
No, he's
going around from town to town?
It's James Brown on ice. No, that's what he's doing. They're gonna gonna keep him on ice and then just push him out at the Staples Center or something, and people are gonna
see that
skate around
to
him.
What the hell?
James's relatives say they want some DNA samples taken from the body because there are some unresolved questions about some paternity cases. Apparently all kinds of women are showing up now with babies saying, oh yeah, this is James.
Wow. James, there's not going to be any DNA left if they wait much longer.
Well, he's already been preserved, I think.
Yeah, but they're going to have to call in a paleontologist or something soon.
And you got to love this story. A report coming out of Brazil claims that New England's Patriot quarterback Tom Brady may be a dad. Oh, I'm not talking about his ex-girlfriend, actress Bridget Moynihan.
Oh.
I'm talking about Gisele Bündchen.
Oh.
Yay!
Apparently now she is pregnant with his child.
Why does he get to have sex with all of the hot women?
Does he have to knock them up?
Has he
ever heard of a condom? Doesn't Belichick give those out of practice or something? The hell's going on?
Maybe it's not enough to keep that from happening. Maybe he needs two condoms.
Because he's got the robot sperm?
Yes.
Because he's a right Cylon?
Yeah. Ralph always says that he's a robot because he just shows no emotion, just goes out and does fantastic every time.
We won the Super Bowl. We lost the Super Bowl. Same face. Win or lose. Doesn't matter.
But somehow he got super sperm out of it. I don't know how.
Brady is 36. Bridget Moynihan is 39. Gisele Bündchen is 26. So you added that all up and the babies apparently will be like 94 or something like that. I don't know how it works. But
I don't think that's how it works. But.
No.
Look, I don't care who you are, celebrity or otherwise, married or otherwise. I don't think there's anyone who is happy about having two women pregnant at the same time with your baby. It's just, I don't think there's ever a scenario where that's the plan.
You can't look at the bright side on that one?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's a good thing at all for anyone ever.
No, I'm very excited. No, I'm very upset. I can't tell. Who knows how he feels? Britney Spears may be shopping for a new publicist. Who's going to take on that job?
Oh, yeah, it's her publicist's fault.
No, but regardless, if you're a publicist and she's shopping for a new one, you got to say, I pass.
Yeah, listen, thanks, but
I'm a publicist, but I'm not a magician.
I'm all filled up. I got enough.
You beat up an SUV with an umbrella. You shaved your head. You got your labia pierced. You got new tattoos. You're in rehab. What, really? What do you want me to do? How do I spin that positively? You're a nut loaf.
I guess, Ralph, the answer is to just have her disappear for 4 months and then come out with a great album. I mean, that's what she needs. That's the 1-2 punch she needs, right?
Right, right.
Apparently they're saying that's the
That is Britney's plan. She would like to relaunch her career after she finishes rehab. But no, there's no one. No one can do it.
That's too big a job.
Too big a job. Reese Witherspoon is reportedly dating Jake Gyllenhaal.
Really?
Or Tobey Maguire. She's not sure.
What do you mean she's not sure?
Well, because they're the same. I can't tell them apart. No, she's dating Jake Gyllenhaal. And apparently they're hot and heavy. So, Ryan Phillippe, raise another glass. Have another cocktail. That's gonna be rough. You know, it's rough enough getting divorced and breaking up and having your significant other start dating other people. But when you have to see it in magazines and television shows, I mean, that's going to blow.
Yeah.
I like Ryan. He's a good dude. And Psycho?
Yes?
A little information for you. It'll make you very, very happy.
Oh.
Apparently, TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, reports that the sex tape that Kim Kardashian made with her then-boyfriend, J-Ray.
Yes.
Yes, or Ray J.
Ray J, rather, will be marketed on the internet despite claims of a prospective lawsuit from both of them.
Fantastic!
It's going to happen. President of Vivid Entertainment says that distribution will begin on March 21st, regardless of the legal entanglements surrounding the video. So those of you like Psycho Mike who pre-ordered
it.
Access to the video. We'll be able to see it on March 21st.
He's not
fantastic.
Psycho Mike is not on his game like that, where he pre-orders stuff on anything else in the
nothing
world.
Else.
Just sex.
Just celebrity porn.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's a good choice.
That's good news, Ralph. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sucko Mike.
Oh, that's right. We changed his name to Sucko.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Linda Fiorentino.
Oh,
she was Agent L in Men in Black. She's been in a bunch of movies. Very attractive, talented actress. She's 47 years old today. I wouldn't know by looking at her. Kerr Smith. He was on Dawson's Creek, and he was on another show.
He was on that show with your pal who played Jack Bristow. They did that lawyer show.
Right. Yes.
Victor Garber.
That show.
Whatever that was called.
It's called
Men in Trees.
The Legal Team.
What was it called? It was only one word.
Oh.
Guys in Trial.
No, one word. Just one
word.
Lawyers. That's it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
If you know, email Ralph.
Do not email.
I thought you wanted to know.
Because Dave the K-Mexico is furiously typing into IMDb right now, and he's going to come up with it in seconds, so we don't need to get it from you, the fine K-Rock listener.
Okay, but if he doesn't in seconds.
He will in seconds. Guaranteed.
Justice.
Thank you.
Yes.
DNN right there. The Dave News Network. Justice.
He's where we go for all of our information. Somehow he knows it all.
I like that Justice. Too bad it's gone. He's 35 years old today. Manuel Lewis, Little Webster.
Oh.
He's 36 years old today.
Little Webster.
He could still fit on Michael Jackson's shoulders.
Yes, he could.
And, of course, we celebrate this day every year. Chingy. Chingy celebrates his 25th birthday.
The Chingy celebration.
Chingy getting his star on the Walk of Fame today, 11:30, right outside the Nutty Factory. Go down and say hi to Chingy.
No, that's Rodney.
Rodney, different guy.
Rodney.
Oh. Rodney's got a star and Chingy doesn't?
Correct.
That doesn't seem quite fair somehow.
That's correct.
Chingy sings a song by Love. David Cassidy and I were talking about Chingy, and Chingy called in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as B.
You know, we may actually end up cool by the end of this week. Yesterday, Kevin, we had astronaut Buzz Aldrin on the show. A little bit of cool rubbed off on us there.
Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the mother effing man, Samuel L. Jackson, one of our favorite actors of all time, back on the Kevin and Bean show here this morning. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Uh-oh. A little early for Sam?
It is early, I know. How you feeling, man?
Oh, good. What's going on?
Talking to you about Black Snake Moan, dude.
Not yet.
Where are you? Are you in Los Angeles or are you in New York?
Shreveport,
Louisiana.
Oh, look at that. All right.
Well, I have not had a chance to see the movie yet. Kevin has not, but Ralph, who is our movie guy on the show, is in the studio with us. He saw it yesterday and is already raving about it. Ralph, tell us about your experience yesterday.
Samuel, I got to tell you, it is a film that really caught me by surprise, because when you look at the advertising and the trailers and everything, I don't think you realize what a sweet and gentle story this is about, this relationship between these two broken people who kind of fix each other by being together, you know?
Yeah, that's true. The posters are kind of deceptive. I think, you know, sometimes it's a turn off for some people, and it's bringing some people in. And hopefully people will see it the way you did, and they'll tell other people, you really need to see this.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, it is sort of titillating. You do have Christina Ricci running around in underwear for the whole first half of the movie, which is nothing wrong with that.
That's all good.
But the relationship that develops between Lazarus and Ray is really, it's such a sweet, tender story about a friendship that I think, you know, it would be difficult in the South or in any place in America between an older black guy and a young white woman.
Yeah, very true, very true. And the way that they find each other and find a way to live, you know, it's a great little story. Craig's an interesting filmmaker and, you know, writer. He has a lot of takes on relationships, and his use of music, even in Hustle and Flow, and in this particular film, is really unique.
Speaking of music, I had no idea that Samuel L. Jackson could rock so hard. You are great in this movie. The songs that you do are terrific.
Well, you know what? I actually learned to play those songs that are in the film. And it was kind of fun to actually learn to play guitar and start, you know, to be able to really make music. And it's really, you know, really cool pastime to sit around and kind of pluck your way through, you know, your day.
Sam plays a blues singer in the film, right. And he has several songs in the movie that just bring the house down. I got to think, is there some sort of album in your future, Sam?
No, man, I got six songs on that soundtrack, and I'm already writing my Grammy speech for next.
This is Samuel L. Jackson on the phone. We're talking about Black Snake Moan. It opened up last week, but of course is playing everywhere, and you ought to go see it if you haven't. We had your co-star Christina Ricci on a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling us how nervous she was because, you know, you're Sam Jackson. She was really nervous to meet you and start working with you on the set. But the way she described it to us, she said you guys hit it off really well and kind of were on the same page doing this movie, and it made it a lot easier for her. Did you kind of feel like you guys connected in the roles that you were playing here?
Yeah, well, she and I have a social relationship. We actually have the same agent, so we kind of run into each other a lot, but we never work together. But I've always had a lot of respect for what Christina did and how she goes about it, and being able to watch her process and to be involved in it was really comforting because she commits. And it's good to be in a situation where the other person is actually doing something that gives you something to react to. And I actually became very, very kind of protective of it because, you know, she's running around in those panties and that little shirt and she's bumping into stuff. And she was wearing a real 70-pound chain.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of interesting to watch her go through that.
As I was watching the film, Sam, I thought this must have been an incredibly grueling movie for her to make, both emotionally and physically, because she's doing so much just tough work up there.
Yeah, well, you saw bruises on her, you know, legs and waist, and she was bumping into stuff and throwing herself around on the floor and, you know, doing all this other stuff. But, you know, you have somebody who's that committed, you kind of feel like you got to amp your game up, too. So it was actually a great working relationship.
We've actually got a scene from the movie here. This is about midway in the film. Samuel plays Lazarus, who has found Ray, played by Christina Ricci, on the roadside, beaten up, abused, and he takes her into her home, and he decides he's going to put it upon himself to fix her, to do the best he can. And at a certain point, their relationship develops where he thinks it's safe enough that he can take off the chain and they can start going about town together as friends.
This ain't no joke. Come here. It ain't on me to change your life for nobody else's. People gonna do what the hell they wanna do anyway. You ain't got but one life. Y'all live it the way you want.
Wow. How did that accent come to you, Sam? Was that tough?
Well, I grew up in Tennessee. And actually, that guy looks a lot like my grandfather's brothers, and he talks exactly like him. So I actually talked like that myself when I was a kid.
Tell us about Craig Brewer. This is the guy. It's his second film. He did Hustle and Flow. That was his first film. That's pretty impressive by itself.
The first film nobody saw.
Yeah. But how did you get involved with him in the script?
Don Singleton, who's a producer, actually sent me the script while he was doing Four Brothers. And I read it, and then Craig came and had a conversation with me. In the meantime, he'd seen me talking to someone on television about my life and realized that, you know, I'd done enough things in my lifetime to add some weight to a guy like that. And I got the job.
You know, Ralph, I wanted to ask you this. I'm sure, like me, before you went into the movie, you were thinking, you don't have a half-naked nymphomaniac show up at your door and then try to talk her out of her lifestyle. Were you kind of rooting to get Sam to succeed in this thing?
No, it's funny. The way they position it, you recognize that for all the titillation factor of the kind of girl that she is, there's a real dark reason behind all of it, and Samuel's character is so caring and loving and going through his own pain because his wife screws him over, and his reaching out to her, it's a much more tender film than you would expect.
Well, I will tell you, we've said this before. Any movie that Sam Jackson is in is a better film for it. And when you already have good material on top of that, plus you got Christina Ricci, plus you got Sam Jackson, you guys ought to check out Black Snake Moan. It is in theaters everywhere today. Sam, you know we love you, man. We love having you on K-Rock anytime.
All right. I appreciate that. Have a great day.
Thank you, man. Bye now. You think we got cooler, Bean, because of that?
I think a little bit. I'm hoping, yeah.
I was hoping to ask him, I'll tell you, the surprise of the movie for me, and I think it will be for you too if you go, is Justin Timberlake's performance.
Does he bring sexy back?
He's great at it.
Is he really?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, he really brings it, and he holds his own against two much more accomplished actors than himself, but really delivers in the film.
Hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
Black Snake Moan is the name of it. It has been in theaters for a week now, but it, of course, is in all the theaters this weekend.
I know I'm going to regret saying this, but give me some dick.
That's what she said. There you go.
So the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, he's got to be just considered lucky to be alive at this point. First, the Taliban tried to blow up in Afghanistan last week. And then after that, because of this big trip that he was on, where he went to all these countries over the course of a week or so, he ended up getting that deep vein thrombosis, I guess they call it, from sitting still too long and got a blood clot in his leg. So we thought, let's find out what's going on with the Vice President. Mr. Cheney, good morning. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir.
Me, Cheney.
Sir, is there nothing that can kill you?
No.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you're 66 years old. You've had what? Well, you've had like 4 or 5 heart attacks, right?
So.
Okay.
Well.
4 heart attacks for most people will do them in.
Yeah. Look at me. Here I am. Not done in.
Yeah.
Right. And then on top of that, I mean, you know, somebody gets to be your age, sir, then they develop the DVT, I guess they call it. And for some people, it can turn into something very serious, something to really be concerned about.
It's not a concern for the undead.
It's not a concern for the undead.
That's right.
So you're not alive is what you're saying.
Unless there's a steak or some garlic around or some holy water, I'm fine.
Okay.
Right. But Mr. Cheney, this is what a lot of people have been asking, which is most people who develop this because they're flying a lot, it's because they're sitting in a cramped coach seat or something. But I mean, you're on, what, probably Air Force 2. You can probably get up and walk around, move while you're in the air. It shouldn't be a problem for you.
I could.
Right.
If I wasn't such a lazy fat ass. I usually just kick back, drink root beer.
Oh, sure.
And peruse German porn.
Is that right?
While we're in the air.
How's the German porn?
Ah, it's great. The kinkiest. Love it.
I didn't
know. Yeah, a lot of choking.
Is there a specialty? Choking is your specialty that you like?
Choking porn.
Oh. I wasn't aware of that.
Now, we also wanted to talk to you about the trial of Scooter Libby, your assistant, your aide.
So?
Well, he was found guilty, and he could get, 30 years in prison or something?
I guess. I don't know. You got the story there?
Well, yeah, but I thought
I
you
were... Shouldn't
you
be a little out of line.
Following
it? I find your questions a little out of line.
Why?
Well, he was your chief of staff, and a lot of people felt that he was the fall guy for you and for Karl Rove, and, you know, even some of the jurors after the conviction said, look, we didn't understand why he was the guy on trial when that wasn't the big problem. It was what he did. It was what others did, including possibly you, the vice president.
So?
It doesn't bother you that the fall guy took a fall, now he has to actually go to prison?
Well, that's why he's the fall guy.
I know, but now that it's happened, you don't feel the least bit bad?
If he was the fly guy, then he'd be flying.
I guess
he's
so.
He's the fall guy, so he has to fall.
Right, but there are no feelings in your heart whatsoever about this.
Feelings. That's funny. Heart. That's funny. You know, the Republican Party has a plan in place next time I get ill.
Oh, is that right? Oh.
They're going to fit me with a suit.
A suit.
A black suit of armor and a helmet that goes on top of me.
Right.
And then they'll say, "Arise, Lord Cheney." And then I'll continue to rule the galaxy.
Right, but I think what you're thinking of is Darth Vader from the Star Wars movies. I think we're talking about real life, and you're the Vice President of the United States.
So?
Speaking of My Chemical Romance and their shows this weekend, we did have the band in our studios not too long ago. They were talking both about the tour and about recording the new CD.
There are, you know, there are thousands of bands, but there are only a few that really do touch people and change people's lives. And it's interesting because you can never really predict which ones those are going to be. Did you guys always know that this was going to be your connection with the fans, or is this something that has developed over the years?
Well, we always knew we had something special. You could feel it right in the beginning. Like, I'd say even by one of the early rehearsals. Mm-hmm. We just knew we had something special, and right away we connected with people. And I think a lot of other people didn't know it was going to be us that was the band that was going to connect, but I think we knew. And it just kept building and building. We built it really slow, you know, in the basements and the halls. So,
are you laughing, Lisa?
I was sneezing.
What are you doing?
I was sneezing very quietly.
Jordan, by the way, was watching her sneeze and kept talking, kept his line of thought.
Yeah, you're good. I said bless you, Lisa.
I'm professional, you know.
He's pouring his heart out over there, Lisa, and you're mocking him. But it's funny, though, because you talk about how you develop slowly. I mean, the band has only been together for what, like 6 years or something? And to get to where you are, am I right about that?
It's 5 years. Five-year-old band.
But look at where you are compared to, you know, how long it takes most bands to even get a break. I mean, you look at, you know, a band like No Doubt that can be together for 14 years before they even get a song on the radio.
Right,
you know?
That's true.
It has been fast in some ways.
No, it definitely has. I think we worked so much, and we worked really hard and got so sick and slept on the floors. I think we did that so much. We got such a crash course in that. Yeah.
And you just toured like crazy, into the ground.
There was never a moment where we wanted to go home. That would have felt like giving up or quitting, and the shows are what kept us going. You know, that's what made you be like, I could deal with this illness. Like, we get sick even to this day. Like, you know, the other guys aren't feeling too well right now.
Right.
But this show is what makes you feel better. You know, you sweat it out on stage, and it's really good for you, actually.
Is that what you're telling those guys that are back there at the hotel sick? Yeah.
Dude, it's good for you, right?
No, it'll be good.
the CD, Welcome to the Black Parade, one of the best albums of the year. I mean, the only thing I compare it to, I've heard you guys doing interviews lately and seeing you on the MTV where you talked about how you got a little bit of the theatrical work from Queen in your head and Pink Floyd and some of those bands from the 70s. And Green Day, I guess, did the same thing with their American Idiot. You know the band is good, but then they just go in and they just take it up like 10 levels.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that was really important for us to do, you know.
I heard you talking in that same interview on MTV about how you, at certain points, you think, I don't know if this is brilliant.
Right.
Or are we crazy?
Right. There's a fine line between, and you're constantly, like, balancing yourself on that edge.
Right.
Of, like, too much and out of your mind and spending too much money or, you know.
It's going to pay off.
It's going to, you know, it's brilliant. And it's, you become so invested in it. You're so inside. You know, we lived inside the Black Parade. And it's impossible for you to tell. So you have to then start playing it for people that are very close to you. And then if they laugh.
Are you looking for a sign of, oh my God, they've lost it?
We're always looking for that. But They usually hear it, and right away, as soon as they heard the end, the opening track, they would just look at us and start laughing. I think it's the good kind of laughing.
About three quarters of the way through is when we knew that it was working for us, and we had so many tools at our disposal, and we could try different things that we weren't, you know, used to be able to do. And we had people working with us that were on the same page as us, so we could pretty much do what made us happy. And about three quarters of the way through that is when we were like, all right, at least this is going to be like the lifelong dream.
Something we
for
like.
For us, yeah.
I was thinking as you were putting together the new record, the Welcome to the Black Parade, did you write a lot of songs like that were, you know, like old My Chemical Romance? And you said, well, can't use it for this album, not going to fit.
Exactly. That's what we spent most of the time doing on Warped Tour. We basically wrote the follow-up to Revenge and didn't like it and chucked, I'd say, how many songs did we chuck? Like 10 or?
Yeah, a bunch. We really? Pretty much used that time to, we were in the tour bus and we built a studio, and we used that time to kind of get back in the writing process and go through those songs and weed out the songs and come up with, now, you know, the ideas that we wanted to keep.
When you chuck them, what happens to them? Do they ever come back? Or?
Sometimes. If you can tweak them, or if, you know, because there's a few that are really great. We did track one or two of them for B-sides, and they're still fun, you know what I mean? It still, you know, captures a lot of our sound on some of those tracks. So.
How many songs do you have for this one, I guess, specifically? How many songs do you have to pick from, and then you have to weed them out? Is it
For this record,
is it 15 or is it 50?
No, it was higher. It was like 20... it was like 26, right? It was high.
And then some of those songs became other things and ideas. And
sure. You ever mix two songs together?
Sometimes you cannibalize sections if you're like, you know what, this section's really great, really pure and special, so let's take it and stick it onto something. You can always do that kind of stuff.
So. Kevin mentioned a moment ago before the break, guys, that the Welcome to the Black Parade song has been around for years.
Yeah.
What's the, you put it away and think you were done with it? And, or well, you always know you go back to it? Or
I think we, you know, Frank was always bringing it up, and I'm glad he did, you know. And it was just one of those things where we would just, it was a little complex at the time. And we just really weren't ready for it. The song was actually, in its previous incarnations, a lot slower. It actually kind of sounded a lot like Frank Sinatra's My Way.
Really?
Kind of, you know, the Sid Vicious version.
Right.
Right. It kind of did sound like that. And then over the years, it just kept evolving. And we were just never truly committed to it or ready for it. And then it just kind of poked its head out on this record.
It's funny that you would say that, because I was watching the video, and I thought the whole way through, this is a really complex song. This is not...
It's like Bohemian Rhapsody. It's got all those different parts.
Yeah, it has a lot of sections, yeah. And we tried to trim out as much of the fat as we could, though. We didn't want it to be super long.
Right.
And it just barely makes 5.5 minutes, right?
So. Who plays the piano on it, Jordan?
Rob Cavallo.
He's great. That's beautiful. That is so nice.
It was nice, yeah.
And the video is, I mean, it looks like, forgive me if Tim Burton did direct it, but it sure looks like he did.
He actually didn't. Well, I think the reason that comes up a lot is because I think we draw upon a lot of the same influences that he did. And, like, if you look at a lot of his work, it's influenced by, like, German expressionistic films, mm-hmm. like Cabin of Dr. Caligari or Metropolis. And he's inspired by that stuff. Obviously, we love Tim Burton as well, but we draw from a lot of the same inspiration. Our very first video that we made was built to look like Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. So that was way back when we were making them ourselves.
You know. The early days.
Yeah.
I never would have expected me to be such a huge fan of your band. I mean, I've heard your records as they've come along that we played here in K-Rock, and I liked them well enough. But Man, have you just won me over with this new album. It is brilliant. I think it's one of my favorites of the year. You've really done a tremendous job with it. It's great. If you don't have it yet, it is called The Black Parade. Of course, it's available everywhere, retail, download, or whatever. What is the rest of the plan for into next year? What are we going to see?
Actually, we think we're going to be touring on this record for a lot longer. We're in no hurry to make a new record.
Is it just too much work? I mean, do you get in the middle of it three-quarters of the way through?
It's not so much that. It's that with this record, we really kind of, on purpose, paint ourselves into a corner.
Right.
And we wanted to do that. And so it's going to be fun to try to escape from that, but it's going to take years of maturing to do that. So.
Years of touring doesn't sound to you like, oh my God, that's just going to take forever, and it's a positive? Or
it's
how
a
do you
positive.
Look at that? Yeah?
I mean, with this kind of record, we're so proud of it. And it's so exciting to perform the songs. It's a huge statement, and we feel like it's really doing something for music. So bring it on the road and
it's been
get it out there.
So well received from everyone, it seems like, right?
Yeah,
everybody. I mean, not as good as K-Fed, but
Well, obviously that's the gold standard. K-Fed. Popo's out of you as well, my friend.
All right,
thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. I'd like to nominate that we have heard that enough and it be retired. Anyone? Second? Anyone?
I'll second that.
By
sure,
vote?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Heard Mike's moan enough at the end of that song?
Yeah,
got it? Experienced it? Laughed at it?
I actually hear it in my head without him doing it.
Enjoyed it? Loved it? Now it's run out of its usefulness.
You can't veto passion.
Hey guys, Rodney Bingenheimer is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at around 11:30. It's at 7021 Hollywood Boulevard between Sycamore and Orange in front of the Knitting Factory. And I guess the Bengals are going to be down there.
All right, Bengals.
Brian Wilson, Henry Rollins, Red Cross, the Nymphs, of course the Donnas, Cato Kaelin.
Yeah. Did you say Cato Kaelin?
I'm afraid so. He's going to be sleeping on a couch down on Hollywood Boulevard. It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Also, members of the Knack and Blondie are going to be in attendance. And it's an all-day tribute to Rodney Bingenheimer on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning.
I want to hear a conversation between Rodney Bingenheimer and Brian Wilson of the Beach
Boys. Oh, that would be the best ever.
I just want to sit there and drink coffee and sit at a table with them at Cantor's and just hear them go back and forth
for hours.
It was a great time making pet sounds. I know, it's great. Album, I listen to it all the time. You put it on, you smoke a lot of dope. Oh, I can't believe it. I was hooked on Diet Right Cola.
Just that conversation there with two mental giants.
I could listen to that for weeks on end.
Oh.
Now our tribute to Rodney on the Run.
And now, another great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
And as you know, K-Rock,
is going to do this big party when I get the star on at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
That was a great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
Now it all makes sense.
They're putting stars in the cemetery now?
Well, I don't think he has the details right on
They're killing
that.
Two birds with one stone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It's a matter of weeks on either side of the event. Why not combine them and make it all happen?
The cement won't be dry yet anyway.
Right.
I got you.
Sure.
I hear you.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Our pal Drew Curtis, creator of Fark.com, joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, actor Kurt Russell is going to be on the show, too. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I go to the showbiz news, I want to give away some tickets to the Museum of Television Radio's Television Festival. It's been going on all month long, and I've got... you all right, Elise?
Yeah, just sneezed.
You're okay. She has that multiple sneeze.
Yeah, I do. I never sneeze once.
It's three, isn't it? It's
three.
Always
three.
At least three.
It's always three, yeah.
The Museum of Television Radio has been doing their TV festival all month long. I've got two pairs of tickets, rather, for the evening with Ugly Betty.
Sorry, it's contagious.
Very popular show. If you'd like to spend an evening with the creators and cast of Ugly Betty, I've got some tickets to give away. But I want to give it to a real TV fan, somebody who has an inner knowledge of the workings of television. So I'm going to ask a tough trivia question today. Here's your question. The show has featured two British actresses. One named Lucy Davis, who played a fashion TV anchor on the show for a couple episodes, and Ashley Jensen, who also plays her good friend Christina on that show. Both of these actresses have worked with one of England's most popular TV comedians. I need you to tell me who that actor is. Who do they have in common? 1-800-520-1067. If you're one of the first two callers with the correct answer at that phone number, you will win a pair of tickets to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Ugly Betty, thanks to the Museum of Television Radio. It's Monday night, by the way, is that special evening. Well, I guess boobs only get you so far in life. Last night on American Idol, Antonella Barba got the boot.
Aw.
She was the gal who was all over the internet showing her cans off. And
boobs.
I don't think she's going to lack for job opportunities at this point, however.
Yeah.
Because Joe Francis, I told you yesterday, he offered her $250,000 to host a video for her of other girls showing their cans.
That's the girls gone wild, dude.
According to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, Sugar DVD, one of the largest online renters of adult videos, they're sort of the Netflix of porn.
Okay.
They've upped the ante. They are going to pay her $500,000 to be their spokesperson.
Just to be the spokesperson, not to do sex?
Nope. Just to be the spokesperson. They will give her $500,000, nice. $500,000 just to be a spokesperson for their porno service.
Okay, she's not that hot.
No,
she's not. She's not a half million dollars hot.
But she's well known.
Yeah, I guess they want to get all of those people to watch American Idol. They figure that they'll follow her career.
How long is that heat going to last?
Maybe a day.
Now, we've all seen the photos. Now that she's off the show, I mean, how viable is she? I would snap that offer up in a minute if I was her.
No kidding.
Where else is she going to make $500,000? Yeah, do both. Also kicked off the show last night was Sundance Head.
Thank God, Sundance Head blew.
You didn't like Sundance Head?
Oh, wait, I don't watch that show.
Oh, that's right. He was one of the favorites, they thought, because he had
a
powerful
voice. Yeah, that's a surprise
to
me, Ralph.
But Sanjaya Malakar, he's still on. He's the one who looks like a teenage Indian woman.
Yeah, he's horrible.
The show. He's horrible.
Horrible.
Sniper? Is that what you said?
No, I didn't say that. Oh. I just had a little cough.
Also kicked off the show last night was Jared Cotter and Sabrina Sloan. Jared Cotter was the good-looking black dude. Looked sort of like a male model, like a Tyrese type of guy. He's gone. And Sabrina Sloan, the girl, pretty girl with sort of very curly hair, she's booted off the show as well.
Okay.
So there's your update. Speaking of which, this American Idol thing, even if you're on after American Idol, you can't help but be a smash hit. Let's look at the ratings for last week's Nielsen ratings for television, okay? Number one in the ratings, American Idol, Wednesday night. Number two in the ratings, American Idol, Tuesday night. Number three in the ratings, American Idol, Thursday night.
Oh, my God.
Number four in the ratings, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Tuesday night.
That comes on right after it.
Number five in the ratings, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Wednesday night. Number six in the ratings, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Thursday night.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The top six out of the top 10 movies, TV shows watched last week were all on Fox during that time period.
God, writers who are struggling to make wonderful shows on TV have got to be tearing their hair out.
Lisa, there's only three scripted TV shows in the top 10 last week.
That is tragic.
Desperate Housewives, CSI Miami, and 2.5 Men.
Oh, jeez, and they're not even the good ones.
Deal or No Deal was the other show there in the top 10. So there you go.
Heroes was like 19 or something.
Oh, I'm so sad.
And hit myself in the head with a brick.
I hear it is. It was a fascinating story about how this fifth grader show, apparently it was created and pitched and put on the air all within 2 months.
Excellent.
Just some brainstorm idea that somebody had, and our pal Mark Burnett is the one who bit and put it on the air, and another smash hit for him.
Yeah. You're saying Mark Burnett bites? Is that what you said?
No.
I said he bit on the idea, and it paid off handsomely for him.
Okay. Do we have an answer for my trivia question?
We do. Morgan in Tahunga. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morgan.
Yes.
Who do Lucy Davis and Ashley Jensen have in common in the world of British comedy?
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais, that's right. Yeah. Lucy was Dawn on the original Office there on the BBC, and Ashley plays Maggie, his best friend, on Extras.
Oh, she's so funny.
She is. She's
such
hilarious.
A ditzy idiot.
Both those actresses are terrific, as is Ricky Gervais. You're absolutely right. Hold on. We'll tell you all about how you can pick up your tickets to spend an evening with the cast and crew of Ugly Betty.
Excellent.
Way to go.
Darlene from Corona, your second winner as well, had Ricky Gervais.
You're having a laugh. You're having a laugh.
Love that show. So sad it's over for another season.
That's the show Extras on HBO.
You're having a laugh.
Very funny. Will Smith, he's making a career out of doing these very poignant, inspirational films. He has just signed on to do another one, which is a pretty fascinating story. It is the life story of Jeff Henderson. This is a guy who was a coke dealer. He dealt crack cocaine, and he went to prison. And while in prison, he got assigned to work in the kitchen.
Okay.
And he learned how to cook.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype.
It just is. I can't help it.
It's true.
Anyway, he got so good that when he got out, he kept cooking, and now he is the executive chef at the Bellagio in Las Vegas.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
He wrote a book called Cooked, From the Streets to the Stove, From Cocaine to Foie Gras. And the book was optioned by Columbia Pictures, and Will Smith is going to turn it into a feature film.
Is Will ever going to fight aliens again, or is he just going to do this kind of grown-up movie now?
I think it's just grown-up time. Just grown-up time for our boy, Will. Which is okay.
How about that?
Nothing wrong with grown-ups. Ah, great story coming out of People Magazine today. Looks like Laguna Beach's Jason Waller is going to go to jail for 2 months.
How come?
He, in September of 2006, was out drinking with some friends here in Los Angeles, and they found that their route was blocked by a tow truck attempting to move an illegally blocked car.
Right.
So they jump out of the vehicle and attack one of the two tow truck drivers.
They beat him up?
Yes. At the time, Waller, who was underage, had a blood alcohol level of 0.22.
Wow. That seems like that's bad, right?
Yes, that's very
that's
bad.
That's way bad. It's like four times the legal limit or something?
That's close to alcohol poisoning.
That's can't even stand up time.
Well, apparently he could throw a few punches, and he was shouting racial slurs at two African-American men lurking in the truck.
Right to rehab.
It's not funny, Mike. It's not funny.
So he is going to jail for 2 months.
This is not right to rehab. Jail first.
This is on top of the fact, by the way, that he got arrested Friday night for underage drinking and resisting arrest.
He's a winner.
He is a big, big winner.
Didn't he also get busted while you guys were in New York for the MTV Music Awards? Like, wasn't he in a tussle with a New York cop and had some blow on him, too?
I think so. I think it was the same guy. Yeah, I think so. He also has to do a one-day session at the Museum of Tolerance on top of his jail stay because of the racial side of the crime. Museum of Tolerance. I hate that place.
Oh, that's a good place.
I hate it.
Me too.
That's
me too. That's a funny, funny place.
I hate it. See, because they say be tolerant, but I hate it.
Right. You having a laugh. You having a laugh.
You having a laugh. And Heather Mills has asked Paul McCartney for the final amount of money that she needs to get by. She said she would like $6.7 million a year.
A year.
For a total settlement adding up to $77 million.
Oh, my Lord.
Apparently, it breaks down like this. She needs $20,000 a day to get by, apparently. That's what
$20,000 a day?
That's how she says she rolls.
Are you kidding me?
That's how she rolls.
20 grand a day?
Yes.
Every day?
Look, how much do you think she spends on leg polish a day? It's got to be a couple grand, right?
Just keeping that thing waxed.
All right, you still have 18,000.
Waxed and ready?
I think Paul would give her the $6.7 million a year if he could be guaranteed somehow that she only had 1 year to live.
That's true. Well, he's got all the money in the world. He could work that out.
20 grand a day.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Linda Fiorentino. Speaking of Will Smith battling aliens, she was in Men in Black with Will. She's 47 years old today. Emmanuel Lewis. Wee Webster. Little Webster. He's 67 years old today. Keir Smith, who was on Dawson's Creek, and also Justice with Victor Garber.
is 35 years old today. And, of course, Chingy celebrates his 25th birthday today. No one really cares. I just like saying Chingy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the studio. We're going through and we're ranking them 1 to 50. We're up to number 37 on PC World's 50 Most Important People on the Internet. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Curtis from Fark.com is right here.
I'm sure I was 36.
Sorry, wrong
oh,
mic.
Oh, there he is. There we go.
I was positive I was 36, by the way.
Here's my
congratulations.
Here's my favorite thing that that anyone has ever said about PC World magazine, also called your site, Fark.com, the third largest time waster online.
Fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Did you see who the other two were?
MySpace
and
YouTube.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong.
That was awesome. When I heard number three, I was like, who cares? But then I saw number two and number one, I was like, oh, well, hang on.
Not too bad.
Never mind.
You
know,
as huge as Fark.com is, and we'll explain what it is here in just a second, Drew, it has to still feel to you a little bit like it's just this thing that I do. How can it be that popular? Like, how can people all over the world be looking at what you do?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. In fact, it's the funniest thing because I've been playing soccer for about as long as I've been working on Fark back home. And so, of course, you know, we're going out having beers after the games and we'll be just talking. I'll be like, oh, I can't make the game tomorrow. Oh, where are you going to be? I'm going to be on Fox tomorrow. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Strange.
It's such a bizarre thing.
Yeah. And they go, oh, Fox boy, can't play soccer.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, TV boy.
You're buying your own drinks, buddy.
Drew, was there ever any thought, now that you got a little bit of money, to maybe not live in Kentucky? I don't know, just the thought, you know?
No, I love it, man. It's awesome.
Really?
It's great. Yeah, well, it's easy to get out here, too. I mean, literally, like yesterday, I hopped a flight to get out here. I was here by 10 o'clock in the morning, you know?
Right.
No problem at all because of the time difference. And plus, it's so cheap. I mean, it costs nothing to live in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Drew got his start by forwarding funny stories to his friends. And we are big proponents of that. We think there's not enough of that being done. And
no,
if you find a funny story, send it on to everybody.
No, Kevin, hold on. Let me clarify. No, what we say is other people have the internet too. So if you've seen it, we've seen it.
Oh.
Stop sending the goddamn forwards. That's
Don't
what we
send
say.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
That was pretty much my thought process too. Was that I was annoying the heck out of people. I mean, everybody's got that parent or you know the uncle or whatever. Like, oh check this thing out that we saw. I want to give you a good example. I was on Fox News like a week or two ago, and they had that little clip from the GoBots where it looks like they're holding the guy down and gang raping him. You know
right.
what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, oh my god, this is the funniest thing ever. It's like I think that came out in like 1998.
Sure. Yes. Hey, let me bring this up to you, Drew. Yesterday, Lisa May says to me, what's the deal with these people who still think Microsoft is going to give you money to forward emails? What
no
is,
idea.
I mean, how long has that one been going around? Lisa got it from some doofus yesterday.
That's fantastic. I think it kind of ties into the fact that, and I'm wondering myself, I think that people have this deep-seated like belief that somebody's just going to give them something. I was like, when we were driving in from the airport yesterday, at an intersection, I see three signs like to talk about all these business opportunities available to me as if I'm going to find a legitimate business opportunity
right.
stapled to a telephone pole on the road.
Sure. Yeah, you can earn that tens of thousands of dollars, they promise. All of them.
Sure.
Do.
That's why it's on the phone pole instead of you know, on TV or something.
Yeah.
So, Fark.com, for folks who don't know, and I can't imagine there are too many people out there who haven't at least visited the site or heard of the site, it's basically just links. That's all it is. You don't really have to generate any content of your own except for the wacky headlines that you attach to other people's stories, right?
Yeah, actually, after about 8 years or so, they finally came up with a name for this. They call it a news aggregator. People have asked me for years what the heck this is. But basically, yeah, we're basically repackaging existing news content as humor.
And most of it's funny. Most of them are funny stories. Like today, on today's, for example, there was a 43-year-old German guy who decided to settle his imminent divorce and take his half by chainsawing his home in half.
As you do. Who amongst us hasn't done that before? That's
he chainsawed it in two and then made off with a forklift with his half of the house.
Nice.
That's fantastic. The kind of story that rules.
Those Germans are so literal.
Yes.
And doing what you do for as long as you've done it, Drew, you've probably seen 100 stories like that where people have just destroyed stuff rather than let their spouse get it, right?
Yeah, and in fact, I think the most famous example of that was in New York City about just over a year ago where the guy was getting a divorce and said that his wife could have the house over his dead body, so he blew the place up.
Nice.
Yeah, they had a nice little terrorist alert in New York for a little bit, which,
wow.
By the way, one of my little pet peeves about news coverage is, like, something explodes in New York. Nobody knows what's going on. And so they go to somebody who, you know, they ask them their opinion of what happened, and the guy always says, well, we're not exactly sure what happened, but we know it's not terrorism. You do? How do you know?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what your book is about, right?
Yeah.
It's called It's Not News, It's Fark, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News.
Yeah, it's basically about the patterns and stuff that will happen when nothing is actually going on. I mean, because basically news outlets sell ads. And I'm not to say that the story selection is motivated by the ads, but you got to have something. Otherwise, you're kind of completely screwed.
Right. No, you're right. Hey, Kevin, pull up the tape of the refrigerator from CNN the other day, because we have not played this yet. And this is exactly what Drew is talking about. He's talking about a 24-hour news cycle where there's oftentimes not anything to report, especially on the hottest story of the day, which is the one you want to be. They think they want to be talking about the hottest story of the day because that's what they think people are looking for on the TV. And they end up with stuff like this.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is from CNN, which is supposedly, you know, the news.
Most trusted name in news. Right.
It's about Anna Nicole's death after they had run out of stuff to talk about.
There certainly has been plenty of talk in recent days about that final sad image of Anna Nicole Smith's refrigerator, mostly empty, but filled with methadone diet drinks and, you know, almost anything, nothing else. Did you know that your own refrigerator can reveal clues about you?
Okay. All right.
That's where they went.
You know what? The media calls out a sidebar, basically, where they've got a particular issue they can't let go of.
Right.
So they start spitting out. Like, for example, during the summer, we get the, oh, my God, it's hot outside.
Oh, yeah.
72-point font in every newspaper on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Followed up by, always there's that idiot that goes out and fries an egg on the sidewalk. Always.
What do you think CNN followed that tease up with? The, hey, your refrigerator can tell you something about you. What do you think?
I was afraid you were going to go to the one where they had the breaking news alert about how her body was decomposing faster than they expected.
Not that one, no. This is the tease for the next story, which is where they send a reporter to their own refrigerator at CNN.
Fantastic.
So let's take a look inside the CNN break room fridge. And I say this with a hesitation, but here we go. We've got some condiments, lots of milk for all the coffee we drink.
That's CNN. By the way, that's not
CNN. Where's James Earl Jones?
That's not like a local channel or anything. That's one of those stories, like you say, that they cannot not talk about.
Well,
but they don't have anything else to say.
And what sucks about it is that this is not an exception. This is actually, like, you could probably turn on CNN right now, and assuming nothing blew up anywhere in the world, they're probably talking about the contents of a shoebox down the street.
Yeah,
yeah, you're absolutely right. Drew Curtis is in the studio. He is the creator of FARC.com. We have many more questions we want to ask. I want to talk more about the media and more about the book, because it's amazing to me that you, a guy who kind of seems like a slacker, to be honest, has written a book. I'm stunned by that. And I want to find out what's up with these FARC parties, too, because I'm always tempted to go. So we'll ask those questions and more with our guest, Drew Curtis, when we return on the World Famous K-Rock. Drew Curtis from FARC.com. By the way, I know that people are going to be emailing today, tomorrow, all through the weekend. They're going to be saying, what was the name of that site that you had with the guy with the funny? It's FARC, FARK.com.
That's what you used to say instead of the F word, right?
Yeah,
online?
That's right. Yep.
That's still where you got it from.
Yeah, well, the funny thing was the initial meaning that I had for it was, I wanted to turn it into what people, a concept that would be stuff that's in the news that is not news. And
right.
I kind of got away from that for a while, but with the book coming back, I can actually kind of hit that point again.
I got you.
Yeah, what is the statement you're trying to make with the book? I mean, the title says a lot, but it's not news, it's FARC, how mass media tries to pass off crap as news. Are you trying to make a big statement? Are you kind of indicting the media that we all watch?
Not exactly. It's more kind of like, it's one of those things that everybody, all of us, the media consumers who watch, have kind of noticed that something's not right. I mean, everywhere I go, people always ask me, where do you get your real news from? Because they assume I'm not getting it from any of the news sources.
Right, sure.
And, I mean, everybody in here is nodding their head because, I mean, we all kind of feel the same way. Interestingly, journalists also feel the same way. They feel like they're being forced to report on stuff that's just absolute garbage. It's a complete waste of their time. So it's something that everybody has known has been going on wrong for a while, but nobody's really kind of pegged down what it is.
Well, here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that the news organizations used to have to check their sources and double check and make sure the stories are true. Now they just want to avoid being sued. And if somebody else says it anywhere, and now that we have online these stories everywhere, as long as they can quote somebody else saying it, they'll run with it. They don't care if it's true or not.
They don't even check it. They just kind of make a dodge. Yeah, part of the problem is that it's kind of a function of the way the media works now as opposed to recently, because the internet, now that the internet's here, news is consumed a la carte. People go to individual articles that they want to read, as opposed to before, where you would buy an entire Time magazine. When you were buying the entire magazine, I don't know if they did any research on it, but my suspicion is they didn't really know what it was that people were reading and weren't really too concerned about it, provided you bought the entire magazine.
Right.
Now it turns out, like, for example, the number one video on CNN today is a couple of fifth graders caught having sex. Now, I'm assuming they're not actually showing the video. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the most popular thing on there because pretty much media consumers are fat, dumb, and stupid. And you get right down right. to it. And we all want to see sex and, but, you know, hot people.
You kind of have to feel sorry for news that has to make money. You kind of have to feel sorry for people who have a bottom line, because if they're faced with, here's an important story that no one is going to watch, and here's a story that doesn't matter to anybody, yet everyone wants to see it, you can understand why they make the decisions that they do, right, Drew?
Absolutely. In fact, well, one of the major shifts in recent years was the 24-hour news network. Previously, when you had evening news, you had that half an hour block, and it was not what carried the revenue for the entire network.
Right.
And you can tell that nobody watched it because it's on at 6:30. Right. Not prime time.
That's true, yeah.
You know, prime time, they've got Dateline where it's, you know, pervert of the week or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
that's
the stuff they show. You know, that's news in prime time. So it now that it is a leader, though, for CNN and Fox and all that, they are, and they really haven't kind of considered it themselves. They just know that what people are going after and what they're not is basically the not news type stuff. Nobody
right,
cares.
Absolutely.
I mean, how many dozen people were killed in Iraq today? I don't know. I mean, I guarantee it was a couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Does anybody
not
know?
News, right.
No idea.
So did you sit down and actually write this book by yourself?
Yes, or I did, as a matter of fact, much to the
really?
Shock of my editor. They gave me about 2 years to finish it and a deadline about 6 months, which I thought was kind of weird until I put two and two together and realized they didn't actually expect me to turn anything usable. But
they're going
to
rewrite.
Basically, or just throw the whole thing out and have somebody else do it. But no, I turned it in, and they actually liked it. And what's funny was is that the comments we've been getting back, we sent a bunch of galleys out to pretty much everybody we could think of, and we got comments back from both Dave Barry and Stephen King.
What?
Who loved it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually on the website if you go there. Stephen King said the book was so funny he threw up. To which somebody said, oh my God, you made Stephen King throw up.
I'm going to guess he was going to throw up anyway. That's just my guess.
I hope so.
I don't know exactly what was going on. You also have a lot of entertainment stories online. We were talking about Michael Jackson's weird party.
Oh, yeah.
And you had an article on that on Fark.com from Tokyo. Bean, remember this where they have to pay $3,500?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Well,
yeah.
Here's what they got. It was a fan appreciation event. They got a buffet dinner.
Great.
Michael Jackson was there. There was a show featuring several Japanese Jackson impersonators, although Michael himself did not perform, and a chance to take photos with Jackson. More than 100 orphans and handicapped children were invited for free. Put
of
your
course.
Own joke in here.
How many did he take home with him?
And and then he tells ABC News that he wouldn't change anything in his career. Not a thing.
Not a thing, huh?
He said, some people have had made deliberate attempts to hurt me, but I'm strong and I'm just going to keep going, as if it's all just somebody else's fault. Wouldn't change a thing.
If I were Michael Jackson, I think there are some things I could look back on and say, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, like the color of his skin or his nose, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff he should be changing if he's looking back.
Kidding.
My God. Drew, is it a surprise to you in all the years, and I guess it's been what, since 1999 you've
had Fark.com? Yeah, it's been about 8 years, yeah.
Is it a surprise that there is a type of person who is a Farker that you have built a community up?
I'm kind of surprised, really, that so many people like it, because honestly, what I've been doing the entire time is just trying to entertain myself, so it's kind of cool that so many other people do, but in general, it seems like their attitude is they're people who are fairly well-informed and are kind of the opinion that the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket and that they're the only ones that see it.
And just they like to laugh at all the stuff that's on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Even some stuff that you really shouldn't be laughing at, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So when you have these Fark parties and you always advertise them on the site and you seem to get around, you seem to hit most of the states throughout the course of a year, is it just an excuse to get people to buy you beer? That's why you do them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, part of it is I'm really extroverted. In fact, the reason I play soccer practically every single night is so I can just get out of the house because I work at home.
Right.
Yeah. And I really like meeting people. And so it started out, I would just be in a city and go, hey, I'm in a city. I'm going to go to this bar and drink. Who wants to come? And, you know, at first it was one or two people. And, like, right now, like, there's a party in Chicago, actually, at the end of this month that I can't make that 150 people already signed up to go to.
Wow. You're the opposite of Bean in every way.
Yeah.
He hates people. He hides himself away, doesn't want to ever meet anyone.
Yeah.
And you can't stay away.
Plus the whole smart, creative, talented, and rich. Plus all that, too. Let's not forget.
You should be a politician, dude.
Oh, hell no.
It's constant. Constant shaking hands, meeting people.
Oh, man. No way.
Smiling, lying to them.
Yeah,
come on.
Lying to them. See, that's the problem right there. Yeah.
Here's a another story that I found on here that I found tragically funny. A trucker who had a lengthy record of driving offenses caused a fatal crash in Maine, and he pled guilty.
This is awful.
To manslaughter. And his driving record, they went back and checked it, included 63 convictions. Not tickets, but convictions.
Conviction.
23 license suspensions and a previous fatal crash.
He already killed somebody else and he was still driving around.
Still driving. Still
had
his license.
Oh, my God.
And they finally just took it away. That's the kind of story that you go, what? How could? Is no one paying attention in Maine?
Well, it's not just Maine. I've seen that happen in other states as well. In fact, Kentucky, that happened up until about a few years ago when they had a horrible, horrible bus crash. And now it's like second DUI, you're gone. You're in jail immediately.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Wow. It is a tremendous site. As Drew mentioned, it's a news aggregate. So you get all the real stories, plus you get funny stories, weird stories. That one you just mentioned, asinine story. You'll love it. And it's updated. It seems like every 5 minutes there's something new.
Yeah,
on,
it's
right?
pretty common. And in fact, the best description I had was my book guy actually came up with it. He said, it's what if the Daily Show ran the Drudge Report? That's basically it.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and the book is going to be called, It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. And that's going to be a legitimate in the stores book that people can buy starting May 31st.
Yep. And it's really funny, too. You know, the headline and the content, notwithstanding, it's actually really, really funny. It's a laugh out loud.
Okay, why did Stephen King throw up? Was he laughing so hard?
Yeah, there's an article in there. One of the chapters is on media fearmongering, and it was basically talking about how in Kentucky, in order to spend Homeland Security dollars, they got to come up with stuff because we're not going to get attacked by terrorists in Kentucky.
But they still want the money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So you got to spend it. So they simulated a terrorist attack on a goat fair.
They did not.
Yeah, they did. And that's how the story starts. And
but
it goes
they
downhill
didn't really.
From there. No, they did.
They simulated a terrorist attack on a goat fair.
On a goat fair, yeah. On a goat fair. And did you know that Kentucky is one of the top 5 goat-producing states in the United States?
No.
I've never seen a goat in Kentucky.
Didn't know that?
Yeah, well, when they say top 5, they mean 5. Or maybe 4. Because otherwise, you'd say top 4, wouldn't you?
All right. The book is going to be out on May 31st. Drew, we always love having you on the Kevin DeMean Show, man. Thanks for stopping by.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. It's time for our next guest, Kurt Russell. Russell is on the phone. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
I am not familiar with the Grindhouse. This is one of the commercials for it.
It was called The Grindhouse. Theaters that played back-to-back movies featuring uncensored sexuality and hardcore thrills. Now, Tarantino and Rodriguez are bringing The Grindhouse back with 2 explosive feature films.
Is it just that we're too young? Grindhouses were big before we were going to the movies, Kurt? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's strange for me to hear that. But yeah, back in the 1960s and 70s, I actually interviewed for a lot of those movies. I was just talking to Ronnie Howard the other day, and he said, God, I can't wait to see this movie because it's all about the movies that I was afraid I was going to get typecast directing. He did his was called Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
A lot of great directors started in this genre, and a lot of really good movies were made that were very underappreciated and very underseen. And Quentin is a curator of a couple hundred of those movies, and he is at the moment at the Beverly Beverly Center, Beverly Cineplex or something.
It is the new Beverly Cinema.
Yeah, the new Beverly Cinema. He's got a. You know, a whole festival going on of these movies, and some of them are just awesome. I was really excited to be given the opportunity to work with Quentin, and then when I found out what this was, which is like going back, and it would be like going to the movies in 2007 with pictures that are about they take place now.
Right,
but they're made as if. They were still doing those double features, and it's
exactly.
A double feature. That's what it is. It's two pictures for the price of one, and that's the way they used to be billed. And you just one of them's like an hour and 20 minutes, and the other one's like an hour and a half, and then they have 5 minutes of previews of theoretical movies that
now,
are coming out.
Oh, really? Now, I originally thought Grindhouse was the name of the movie.
Well, Grindhouse comes from. Grindhouse, it's under the banner of Grindhouse. There's Planet Terror is one movie. Death Proof is the other movie. They're both full-length pictures, short full-length features, but they come under the banner of Grindhouse. Grindhouse, see, in the old days, you didn't have 2,000 prints to throw out there all at once. That's not the way it worked. You, many times in these types of movies, they put two of them together, and they travel the circuit, and they might have 20 or 30, maybe 40 prints.
No kidding.
And they would go from city to city to city, or region to region to region. And by the time it got to its 15th or 16th city, the film was screwed up. It was torn. It had been burned. Cigarette holes in it, and then sometimes whole reels had been stolen. Really, it is an interesting history to these because if some guy in some theater. Watching, what a projectionist liked a girl in a certain scene. Sometimes they would just go in there and cut that out, and save it for themselves and send
and keep
it on.
Nice.
To the next city, and of course nobody would know where it went. And so there'd be these things called lost reels. And I think that I believe in Death Proof we have a lost reel.
And what That's planet? Awesome. What planet was this on?
Before your time, guys.
Listen,
in those movies, often like you know, White Line Fever or Vanishing Point, there was some awesome car stuff. And
yeah, no kidding.
We
got to Kurt Russell on the line. We'll talk more about Death Proof here in a second, but I just want to mention, because you brought up this Quentin Tarantino Film Festival, and of course, we've had him on the show a bunch of times. No one loves the movies more than Quentin Tarantino.
No one loves the movies more than Quentin. Yeah. I can say that. It's an honest and true statement. Take that from someone who's been in the business for 47 years.
Exactly. This is at the New Beverly Cinema, and it's going on for, you know, much of March. It starts this weekend. General admission prices are only $7. And listen to some of these double features. I mean, depending on what you're into, Chinese Hercules and Black Dragon together, March 14th. 50. Autopsy and Eyeball together on March 21st and 22nd, for instance. I can't wait to see Pretty Maids All in a Row and Revenge of the Cheerleaders. That's a double feature for the weekend of March 25th. That's fantastic.
Celebrating exploitation of sex and violence and my very favorite, extreme subject matter.
I love it. Yeah. Because these are movies that were made at a time where you couldn't get films like this probably into the mainstream because they were just a little too raw.
Some of them are really good. And that's the cool thing. That's what's cool about Quentin's time. Some of these movies that are playing at the Beverly, at the New Beverly Cinema, some of them are really good. You're going to watch it and you're going to come out and say, oh man, why didn't I see that? Well, it's just because it wasn't part of the scene that got passed on in terms of critics and whatnot.
Right.
It was just a movie that was it was regionally sold, so it couldn't have a national sell, and some of them are absolutely flat out.
Plus, by the time it got to you on the West Coast, you know, it had already been cut up by so many other projectionists. It was only 11 minutes long by the time we got it. That was part of the problem, too.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
You are a stuntman Mike in Death Proof. What do you do? You're a car guy, right?
He's just the guy who's out of his mind, who kills people with his hopped-up cars.
His car is Death Proof.
I come with him. Stuntman. Quentin Tarantino's Death Proof.
This car is 100% Death Proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat.
I like it.
Wow.
I like it. What was it like working with him? Is this the first time you worked with him?
Yeah, it's the first time. I certainly hope it's not the last. It was spectacular. That's all I can say. It was like fabulous. It's like what you imagine. It's like what you would imagine when you get into this business if you really wanted to get in this business. It's like joining the circus and saying, well, I want to be a lion tamer, and I have this idea in my head of what that's like, and then it's exactly like that and more. And every once in a while you have that experience, but with Quentin, it was full on, full throttle. I just can't say enough. I think he was... I think he's just flat out awesome, period.
He is.
Really, really good at what he does.
We've heard so much in the past that he has people that he admires that he doesn't think get the kind of work they should, you know, whether it's a John Travolta or a Pam Grier, and maybe you. Are you, Kurt Russell, one of the guys that he just always wanted to put in a movie?
We talked about that, and he loves a lot. Here's the reason. He said, look, here's why I want. I said, what do you want here? He said, look, you've got a rogues gallery. You've got my favorite rogues gallery of characters of anybody of any actor who's played stuff. He said, I love the characters that you've done. And he said, I got one that I want you to play this guy. I want you to be this guy. And in fact, I believe Mickey Rourke was originally going to be the guy that fell out. And so the opportunity fell in my lap. And I just said, well, I'm taking this opportunity. I was hoping that it would be something that I really wanted to do, that I wasn't going to be cast in some way that I didn't want, a character I didn't want to play.
Right.
I read Grindhouse, and I read Death Proof, and I said, oh, this is exactly the kind of character in the kind of movie that I would want to do if I was going to work with Tarantino. Let's see what this is like. And then the experience was 100 times better than I hoped it would be.
No, you're not.
It was truly spectacular, and it is. Stuntman Mike is for me, I think it's going to be one of those characters that 20 years from now people say, Snake Plissken, Elvis Presley,
Stuntman Mike.
Burton, Wyatt Earp, you know, people that you've played that we've held out for
right.
these movies. One of them will be stuntman.
Now, in Planet Terror, you're not in this one, right? The Rodriguez
not
part?
In Planet Terror. That's Robert Rodriguez movie.
Let me just explain, because this is the second half of it. This I'm going to read from the information I have on Planet Terror. Two doctors find their graveyard shift inundated with townspeople ravaged by sores.
Ooh.
Among the wounded is Rose McGowan's character Cherry, a dancer whose leg was ripped from her body.
Oh, my Lord.
Good times.
Oh, I don't know how it gets any better than that. Hey, listen, I know, Kurt Russell, I know you got to go, but the festival is going on right now, starting this weekend at the New Beverly. And again, great double features all month long. Your Death Proof opens up on Friday, April the 6th, in a double feature with Planet Terror. It sounds like amazing stuff, man. We're happy for you. We're delighted to have you on the show. We can't wait to see the film. And thank you very much for joining us on K-Rock.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate talking to you.
Thank you.
Yesterday on the show, we talked to Sam, the Armenian comedian, who seems to have a burr up his butt about setting the Guinness Book of World Records on most haircuts in a 24-hour period. Now, I don't know that he's sober enough to pull that off, but just in the event that he is, we've lined up somebody from the Guinness Book that we're going to talk to just after the news to find out what's involved. What constitutes a haircut? Is what
I cut more hair than any cutting ever in the heads of all the world.
And we have funny, funny listeners. They email us like, I hate Sam, never have him on. And
I know,
it's just totally sarcastic.
So
like,
funny how they pretend they don't like him.
It's just great.
Because they love him. So anyway, we'll talk to maybe Sam, but we'll definitely talk to the Guinness Book when we come back after the news. First, though, 7:59, KRQFM passing Los Angeles. Ralph is here with the Friday Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
You know, it's funny. Those same listeners emailed me and said, this Buzz Aldrin interview is the greatest thing I've ever heard. He's so cool. They got a great sense of humor, our listeners.
They're funny.
Well, I'm glad I didn't talk about this list before you talked to the super-duper Kurt Russell.
Why?
Who was one of my favorite actors of all time, by the way. I can watch Tombstone 4 times a day every day for the rest of my life and be completely
happy. That's a good movie.
It's a freaking amazing
easy.
What about the computer that wore tennis shoes, though, Ralph?
You know what? I used to watch all those Disney movies when
too.
I was a kid.
The computer that wore tennis shoes?
He had a 10-year contract with Disney, mm-hmm. and he did all these sort of teenage comedies. For Disney, the computer wore tennis shoes, World's Strongest Man.
I was going to grow up and marry him.
How about that?
When I was a little kid, I decided.
Yeah,
he was my guy.
How's that working out?
Not so good.
Anyway, Maxim Magazine has put together a list of the top 10 worst movies of all time.
Oh, excellent.
Worst movies.
Okay. Worst movies of all time.
It's a list right up our alley.
Yeah, but it's a bogus list.
Oh.
I think Maxim blows. I think this list is horrible. Just that's my general opinion in general about Maxim. But number one on the list is Big Trouble in Little China, starring Kurt Russell.
No way! Are you kidding me?
It's not possible. It's not possible. That movie isn't even the worst movie Kurt Russell's ever done.
Let alone being the worst movie ever.
I don't think I ever saw, but unless Patrick Swayze's in it, it can't be the worst movie of all time. I'm sorry.
This list is totally bogus. I'm going to give you the top 10.
Right.
Here we go. Number 10, Best of the Best.
I don't know that.
It's an action movie. I forget who stars in it. It's not Jeff Speakman. Who is it?
That might be Early Van Damme.
Is it Van Damme?
I think it's Early Van Damme.
Really?
Early does good work.
Number 10, Missing in Action. The Chuck Norris thriller is number 9. Commando with Schwarzenegger was 8.
Sure.
The Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad. Billy Madison, number 6.
How dare he?
They're coming at Billy. Dead Alive.
Don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. It's number 5. Dolomite. Remember Dolomite with
Dolomite,
Rudy Moore?
Was that black exploitation?
Yeah.
Movie? Yes.
Great. Showgirls, number 3.
Yeah, sure.
Best or worst.
Porky's, number 2.
Porky's.
Aww. Oh, how dare you.
And Big Trouble in Little China, number 1. Not on the list.
I think we need to come up with our own top 10.
Not on the list. Glitter with Mariah Carey.
Sure.
Yes.
Basic Instinct 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Not on the list. Pluto Nash, not on the list.
Ishtar,
not on the list. Every movie Madonna's ever made, not on the list. Battlefield Earth, not on the list.
Yeah.
I reject this list.
That's a bad list.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree.
Two for the money.
Bogus. Hey.
What?
Wow. Hey.
I'm just saying.
Well, you are just saying. Yeah. It's true. Boobs only get you so far in this world, girls.
Boobs.
It took Antonella Barba deeper into American Idol than they originally thought she'd get, but she got the boot last night. However, she can make some money because she appeared semi-clad on the internet.
Yeah.
It's an amazing world we live in.
She's getting offers.
Joe Francis, of course, the man responsible for Girls Gone Wild, offered her $250,000 to be their spokesperson. But Sugar DVD has just upped the ante. The largest online renter of adult videos, I think Netflix for porn,
has upped the offer to $500,000 if she will be their spokesperson.
Wow.
They don't even know if she could be a spokesperson.
They have no idea.
Dude, for $500,000, you could probably get Angelina Jolie to do it, for God's sakes. Why would you give it to an American Idol contestant?
This is just, it's the Golden Palace mentality we live in. It's just any publicity is good publicity, and just pay through the nose for it.
Yeah.
I want to know. She's so talented, though, Ralph.
What kind of coin is Sugar DVD pulling in that can cough up $500,000 for a spokesperson, by the way?
Although they probably wouldn't have to stick by their word. They could just say they're going to give her $500,000, get in the news. And then she calls
then
me. Then
slip her a roofie.
All right, I'm ready.
Proper.
Not so much. We don't.
That's
gonna,
probably true.
Not going to need your service.
They could rescind that offer at any time, I reckon. This Anna Nicole thing just won't go away.
I love it. I used to hate it. I thought it was way too much. Now every day is just like a brand new story. It's fantastic.
It is a brand new story. This one's saying, cops in the Bahamas have uncovered new evidence in the investigation into her death.
Really?
They're not giving any hint as to what that is, but apparently they think something's hinky. Anyway, what it really means is the toxicology report from the autopsy results will be delayed again at least a week or two, according to the medical examiner's office.
Hasn't she been dead for 3 weeks?
A month.
A month?
It's been a month now. Yeah.
How do they just find new information all of a sudden?
I have no idea. Well, they
said
new evidence that may or may not be involving the body. It might be something at the crime scene or something like that, but we'll have to wait and see. And in more death news, James Brown... still not buried.
Oh, that's my favorite story, too.
Still on ice, just sitting there in somebody's cooler. I think he's in a big cooler.
See, he's just like a
Coleman cooler.
A big Coleman cooler?
Yeah, just stuffed in there.
Hey, can you give me a beer? Yeah, just push him aside.
Relatives say they want some DNA samples taken from the body before he gets interred because there's some unresolved questions about paternity to some children that women are claiming
there's a bunch.
Ralph Garman.
Yes, Gene Simmons. What's up, Gene?
Talking about DNA samples from a body.
Yes.
Lisa Mae.
Oh.
I think your mouth needs a DNA sample from my body.
Oh, good Lord.
Bohinder?
God's name is wrong with you.
And I
know.
I've got an email here regarding Anna Nicole Smith, too. So I think... maybe I should read this. It looks like somebody has an interesting insight into the story, and they have some information that we may or may not believe.
I like this.
This is from Zach Schwartz. Ralph, I have some inside scoop for you regarding the Anna Nicole Smith story. Due to the enormous amount of media attention surrounding her death, apparently Howard K. Stern has become increasingly concerned with grave robbers.
What?
The fear is that the thieves will, at some time or another, dig up her grave, then hold the body ransom for a portion of the eventual $480 million payday. To this end, the hugely hyped funeral we've all watched on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider was a fake.
What?
In fact, she's not even buried in the Bahamas. Rumor has it that Stern chose another popular island for Anna's final resting place, but it's not the Bahamas. The truth is, Anna is rotting in Barbados. Zach Schwartz sent me that one. Wow. Oh, it's back! It's back! It's better than ever!
Well, it's back.
In Barbados, in Barbados. In Barbados, in Barbados, in Barbados. In Barbados, in Barbados, in Barbados. Oh, 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 in Barbados.
Rotting in Barbados.
Pop music star, Falco.
Yeah. I think that we don't really need... Whee! You don't have to keep sending those to Ralph, I think is...
It's two in a row. One yesterday, one today.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
You feel it? You feel the groundswell? You feel the energy?
That isn't good for you.
Oh, it's coming downhill like an avalanche.
Yes, it is. It's about to kill us.
So sweet.
We should get out of the way.
Today's celebrity birthday is Emmanuel Lewis. He was Little Webster on the TV show Webster. He's 36 years old today. Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek, also from the TV show Justice, turns 35. Lindo Fiorentino from Men in Black. And if you ever get a chance to run a film called The Last Seduction, do yourself
that's
a favor.
The one.
Pick that up.
She's that's her hottest role.
She's 47 years old today. And Chingy celebrates his 25th birthday today.
Chingy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, let's bring up Sam the Armenian Comedian just real quick. I just want to make sure before we go to our special guest on the line that we're not wasting our time here. Sam?
Yes.
You are a professional haircutter. You are in, if we can line it up for next week, for you to go for the Guinness Book of World Records, most haircuts given in 24 hours. You are willing to compete.
Yes, I am willing, and I'm practicing every day already.
Practicing.
Haircut.
Okay, good.
Hold on. All right, you stand by and listen to our next guest, because we're happy to welcome back to the program our pal Stuart Claxton. He is a judge and researcher and the North American spokesperson for Guinness Book of World Records. Good morning, Stuart. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, good morning.
Now, Guinness Book of World Records, by the way, second best-selling book of all time behind the Bible. Is that correct, Stuart?
Indeed, indeed.
Wow.
We sell around 5 million books every year, and a couple of years ago we sold our 100th millionth copy. So all in all, the testament to the fact that the record-breaking world doesn't stop.
Hmm. Yeah, no kidding. It is unbelievable. Well, from time to time we catch a record that is being said in the news that gets our attention, and we start to think, I wonder if that one's vulnerable. And I'm sure people around the world have the same thought when they read your book. We're interested in the most haircuts given in a 24-hour period. What do you know about that record?
Very interesting, very interesting. So so the current Guinness World Record for most consecutive haircuts in 24 hours by an individual is currently held by an Italian, Christian Petrillo.
Okay.
And he, from the 18th to 19th of June 2004 in Hamburg, Germany, of all places, at the Nico Style Hair Salon, he cut and styled 250 different heads. So the current record and the current number to beat is 250 in a 24-hour period.
Now, we have an amazing, amazing hairstylist here in Southern California. He's also a comedian, the Armenian comedian, and he's going to beat that record. And we need to know just a few details about what is a haircut, for example. What does he have to do specifically?
It's a very good question. Okay. Exactly. So the starting point for this is that the hair before the cutting must be at least 8 centimeters long, which is about 3.5 inches.
Okay.
And that's from the front line to the same spot at the back of the head, and then around the ears it's got to be about 1 inch long.
Okay.
Now every hair on the head must be cut, and this is all going to be done in a 24-hour period. So it really all must be done according to guidelines, but of course we have to have a couple of independent judges.
Sure.
To actually determine what a haircut will be, you need to have someone who has either competed at international world championship level or someone representing the World Hairdressers Organization present.
Really?
Okay,
now, really,
this
is the kind of stuff we wouldn't have known unless we brought Stuart on. Now, when you say every hair must be cut,
indeed.
Now, did the current record holder, did he, Mr. Petrillo, did he just go in there and just give buzz cuts? Is that how he did that to do it fast enough?
But essentially, you can use sort of any article, but no sort of haircut or style, as it were, greater than 3, using just clippers is allowed. So, you're not allowed to kind of get a buzz and just shave people's heads, because that's an entirely different record.
Oh, so what if he doesn't use scissors? What if he just uses the electric one?
Well, you need scissors, but you also need, you can use scissors and be aided by another instrument.
But what if he what if he does not use scissors?
No, you really do need scissors,
okay.
I'm afraid.
All right. Wow. So, what does this work out to? I'm bad at math, but is it like 12, 11 or 12 an hour that he has to do for 24 hours to make this record?
Well, if you got 250 in a 24-hour period, I mean, what's that work out to? So, 250, 24... yeah, you're talking about over
8 hours,
over 11 haircuts an hour, roughly.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so every hair has to be cut, and you can't buzz cut. That does sound like the type of thing that's going to be very difficult to pay attention to and make sure that criteria is met with every person that sits in the chair.
He didn't say it was easy, you guys.
Now,
that's why it's a Guinness Book of World Record.
Now, Stuart, what, we have so many questions to set this thing up. Like, for example, what kind of breaks does he get per hour, all that kind of thing?
No, that's a very good question. I mean, when we say 24 hours, we mean a complete 24-hour cycle. So, say, for example, he starts 12 noon on Monday, he's got to finish 12 noon on Tuesday. Now, the hairdresser can actually take as many breaks as he wants.
Oh,
I see.
Right.
The clock doesn't stop. So,
okay.
It really is up to the hairdresser whether he or she, can just keep going as long as he or she can, or whether they want to take breaks at a particular time. That is really up to the individual, but the clock doesn't stop.
So, if he does 251 in the first hour, he's done.
Indeed.
He can just sleep.
Indeed, and we may have to open a category for the most in an hour.
Okay. All right. Stuart, you may not know the answer to this, but is there any video or anything like that that's available of the guy setting the record in 2004?
Well, any Guinness World Record attempt that is submitted for consideration has to be accompanied by, you know, video or photographic imagery, you know, witness statements, any media coverage, et cetera, et cetera. But I can certainly look into it for you, but it will either be photographs or, as you say, sort of video footage of the actual attempt in progress.
Right. Yeah, and of course, I know that you can't do anything to kind of aid us other than answer our questions. I understand that. You don't want to give people an advantage on that. But it's just, I just want to make sure that, and maybe we'll check more with you off the air on this. I just want to make sure that we completely understand what your definition of a haircut was in terms of, you know, that we have those rules down in terms of the length of the person's hair and how much needs to be cut. So it sounds tougher than we even thought it was going to be, Kevin. Do you think Sam is still the man who can pull this off?
Absolutely. If anyone can, Sam can.
Really?
Oh,
you think
yeah.
so? Because he seems like just an idiot to me.
All right, Stuart, we're going to put you on hold. Actually, we'll hang up on you. We'll call you back and get all the information that we need specifically because we don't have the world's best record when it comes to setting records.
No problem. And, of course, you know, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that. North American spokesperson for the Guinness Book of World Records. That is Stuart Claxton. Let's go back to Sam and see what he thinks now that he's heard some of those particulars.
Sam?
Yes.
What do you think? You got to use scissors, man.
Oh, man. Scissors, scissors, razors. Anything you want, I can do anyway.
Oh, I thought you didn't use scissors. I thought your specialty was no scissors.
Yes, I am scissors.
Okay, all right.
See, I got to tell you, I feel like I've had the wind knocked out of me because I really thought buzz cut was going to be our answer because it's clean and it's fast and it's simple and it's easy to understand, and I thought that's the key. But if buzz cuts are not allowed, I really have my doubts now.
No, listen, I am trained to do scissor precision cut.
Okay.
Clipper came in later because we have to do clipper cuts because of these new fashions.
Okay, I got you.
But I'm a precision scissors master.
You're a precision scissors master.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's what's on his business card. Sam, one last question, then we got to go because we're running desperately late. How many haircuts now do you think you do in a day?
In a day?
Yeah, at work. When you go to work, how many haircuts do you do?
Okay, in a day, I don't know. I never done before, but in 1 hour, maybe I can fit in 10.
That's not what he's asking. He's just saying, like, on a regular business day when you go in to cut hair, how many would you guess you do?
Oh, I get to do about 25 to 35 haircuts.
Okay. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I want to make sure you understand it's one thing to throw out the number 250, but I want you to visualize doing 10 times the amount of haircuts that you do in a day and trying to stay awake for a 24-hour period. I mean, this is an extremely, extraordinarily difficult record you're attempting.
I'm going to do octopus haircut. The reason is I'm going to put two chairs, two persons, and I'm going to buzz their head with both arms, left and right, buzzers going.
Oh, he wants to cut two hairs at the same time is what he wants to do.
Octopus haircut.
That's what you call it. You've named it. Yeah, you got to use scissors, though, Sam.
Yes.
You have scissors in both hands.
Yeah. Some of them are scissors. Some of them are buzzers.
I want to see that.
Hey, I'm looking at the book of records. Are you sure you wouldn't rather try to get the world's tallest mohawk, 21 inches? Or the most gender reassignment surgeries? 64 surgeries?
Oh,
wouldn't you rather
God.
Break those records? Or do you think you're still going to do the hair thing?
No, I do the hair tie. Okay. Don't worry.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Sam, listen.
You are in good hands.
Yes, we are.
You got nothing to worry about me. I am the best, fastest hair cutter.
Okay, that's fine. Listen, Lightning's going to get back to you. We'll work out some of these details off the air. But if you're still in, we're going to press on. All right, Sam?
Yes, I am in.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We're doomed. It's 8:33 of the Kevin Beat Show, Friday morning. Time for the Movie Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Movie Beat.
Slim Pickens at the movie theaters this weekend.
Slim Pickens is back at the movie.
No one's ever heard of him.
Ludicrous. No doubt. A couple good ones. Some interesting documentaries. But overall, the seven films opening this weekend, not really much going on. Let's talk about some of those documentaries, though, because several of these seem really, really interesting. The first and foremost that caught my attention a couple weeks ago when I first heard about it is called East of Havana.
What's that?
This is a documentary about three young Cuban rappers as they participate in a state-run hip-hop festival in Havana. In Cuba, if you're a rapper, you have to run your lyrics past the government.
You have to get it okayed by the government?
Before you can perform, yeah.
Oh,
these guys are up against it when it comes to rapping. And it's a unique take on artists trying to express themselves dealing in a basically
communist dictatorship and how they work their way around that.
They rap about Fidel Castro being the best and that kind of stuff?
You got a really cool beard. I don't care if people say you're weird. Yeah, it's very strange. But one of the producers of this is Charlize Theron. That's really? How I first heard about it, because I've seen her doing doing interviews about the documentary. So it seems to be pretty fascinating stuff. You want to check that out. It's in selected theaters around the Southland this weekend. Another interesting documentary is called Maxed Out. James Scurlock does an investigative documentary about Americans' spiraling debt, about how credit card and financial industries really work, and how he believes the whole thing is a plan for the rich to get richer and the poor to get poorer. They want to keep you in as much debt as possible in the given economic system we're working in right now.
So it's a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
As is Into Great Silence, about the monks of the Grand Chartreuse, a monastery in the French Alps that live and worship in total silence. Phil Baker, Philip Gronig, filmed them for 6 months.
It's like 2.5 hours long, I think.
Yes,
without
it's
a word. 2.5 hours of silence?
Without a word being spoken.
And yet they say it's amazing.
No!
Yep.
Two and a half hours of quiet monks. The Quiet Monks, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
Over to Abbott
Coachella. Day two.
Some of the other movies opening up this weekend, The Ultimate Gift, based on the bestseller. It's about a guy who's basically a trust fund baby. Mm-hmm. His grandfather is insanely rich, although they have a horrible relationship. He basically hates his grandfather.
Right.
When the grandfather dies, he looks forward to an enormous windfall. He's going to collect all the money from the will. However, granddad surprises him.
Yeah.
And gives him 12 tasks that he has to complete in order to cash in and get the money.
Okay.
These are tasks he calls gifts. But in essence, it's grandfather's way to teach this spoiled brat the difference between happiness and wealth and what life is really about. Here's a little scene from the film. The grandfather is played by James Garner, one of my favorite all-time actors from The Rockford Files, and Drew Fuller plays the brat. He probably best known for his work on Charmed. He was a regular in that series. Here's a little clip.
So I want to give you a gift, a series of gifts leading up to, well, I want to call it the ultimate gift. Are you failing any way, it's over. You get nothing.
Dude, just give me the cash.
See, that's what he says, but he's got to go through it. He's got to do the 12
tasks. What kind of stuff does he have to do? Do you know?
I don't know. Lessons to teach a valuable, valuable message to the kid or something?
Number one, clip my toenails.
Yeah. they're big life lessons sort of things that he needs to accomplish.
Number two, give me a sponge bath.
Well, he's dead at this point. It's a video he's playing. When they're reading the will, he plays him the video of him talking from the grave to his grandson.
I gotcha.
The movie also stars Abigail Breslin, Oscar nominee. Abigail Breslin is also in the film, so you may want to check that out.
It's a hell of a weekend. It's almost like it's Memorial Day weekend. The movies are so big. How do you choose with all these huge films?
Oh, yeah? Well, how about 300,
That's what I'm talking about.
How do you like me now?
Love. Can't wait.
Motion picture based on the graphic novel from a legendary comic book writer and artist Frank Miller, the man who gave us Sin City, Batman Dark Knight. He's just a genius. This is based on the true story of the 300 Spartans in ancient Greece who had to hold off a giant Persian army of 100,000 men. 300 versus 100,000.
That hardly seems fair.
That's the most men ever taken on at one time if you don't count Alex backstage at Weenie Roast.
She's in the Guinness Book, by the way.
Yes, she is, actually.
Under Treen.
It's a suicide mission. They have to go on and take on the Persians in order to give Greece time to organize an army of their own to hold off this attack.
So they have to hold off 100,000 warriors.
Yes.
300 of them.
Yes.
Oh, that looks good.
The Spartans kick some major ass. Here's a scene from the film in which King Leonidas, played by Gerald Butler, who the ladies seem to like reason. I'm not sure.
They mentioned that, yeah.
He is standing up to a Persian messenger who is delivering the ultimatum from King Xerxes.
Madman, Persian or Greek, no man threatens a messenger.
You bring the crowns and heads of conquered kings to my city steps. You insult my queen. You threaten my people with slavery and death. Oh, I've chosen my words carefully, Persian. Perhaps you should have done the same.
Blasphemy! This is madness!
This is Sparta!
Dude.
Howard Dean? He did sound like Howard Dean
was in there.
And then Karina says, "You got served." and the Persian messenger says, "Where are you from?" And they stack cups see who wins.
I don't think that's what happens. They fight.
Dance, they swim dance, against the white swim team.
It's sword fighting.
Do they jump? Do they jump rope?
Nope, just sword fighting.
Oh, what kind of movie is this then?
Yeah, good one.
I hear, Ralph, that this is where the expression "don't kill the messenger" comes from, because I guess in the film they kill the messenger, right? I mean, that's apparently the
is that a joke, or are you being
No, that's the etymology of that expression. Yeah, it was from this incident.
Thank God. I woke up this morning and thought, where did that come from?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
That's the guy falling down.
So 300 obviously is your pick for the weekend, right?
Oh, yeah.
Although I will tell you, last night I went to see Black Snake Moan.
Yes.
And if you haven't had a chance to see that film yet, I highly recommend it. It's an excellent, excellent film. It's almost from another era. It feels like a movie they would have made in the 60s or 70s, because it's a small little film. It tells a real story in a very gritty, naturalistic way. And the performances in it from Samuel L. Jackson, Christina Ricci, and surprisingly Justin Timberlake are all really, really good. So I suggest you seek that out if you can't get into 300 this weekend. And also, I got to see Blades of Glory last night.
Oh, when does that come out?
The new Will Ferrell movie with John Heder.
When does that come out?
I think next weekend.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about that when the weekend gets released, but good stuff there, too.
Fantastic.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Are you guys retarded? This email begins as we go to the email bag here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. You're going to put scissors in the hands of the Armenian comedian and actually promote him to cut hair for 24 hours straight? I must be missing something. Who are these willing subjects you think you're going to find who are going to put themselves in his soon-to-be-exhausted hands? Guys, I'm telling you, it's a lawsuit waiting to happen with a tragic Van Gogh ending. Sincerely, Adam. On that same note, Frank writes in, Kevin and Bean, I enjoy listening to you guys every morning, and I think the idea sounds pretty crazy, but think about that poor lady up in Sacramento who drank all the water. That idea sounded funny at the time, I'm sure, but look what happened. I can't imagine who would be the biggest idiot, Sam or anyone who is crazy enough to get their hair cut by him. Don't do it. Later, Frank.
This might surprise you. A lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. A lot of volunteers. This one is titled, Thanks for That Info, Bean. Thanks, Bean. Now I know that if Buzz Aldrin, astronaut, sits next to me on a plane, I should leave him alone. Not only is the man a national hero who deserves his privacy, but he's also astoundingly boring. Our astronauts obviously have talents far greater than your average man. One of Buzz's amazing abilities is to take one of the most exciting and fascinating events in American history and turn it all into unlistenable anecdotes. I can imagine sitting next to him, listening to him drone on, my eyes gazing wistfully at the Sky Mall magazine in the seat pocket as I count down the minutes till I got off the plane. Thanks again, Bean.
How are you going to come at a hero like that? Look, we had Buzz Aldrin, Apollo 11 astronaut, on the show yesterday, and he sounded every bit of his 76 years old, but God bless him for coming on. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
That was really nice.
Here's a rare compliment that was sent to the Kevin and Bean email. Dudes, unfortunately, I had to grow up and become a corporate geek, but it hasn't taken away from the fact that I'm a huge Korn fan. Along with being a corporate geek and can afford nice things like a great computer with a big monitor and sound system, well, while I was sitting in mindless meetings on Tuesday thinking about how I was missing the breakfast with Korn, it was great to know that I could rest assured that I would be able to go home and watch it, and I did. Wow. It was awesome. I really appreciated you guys filming it. Now, us older fans can still be a part of the cool stuff you do at K-Rock. Thanks a lot. Longtime listener and fan, Jason from Agoura Hills.
That's cool
because it's the first time we've ever done of all the breakfasts we've done over the years. This is the first one that was ever actually webcast as well and was archived so that people like Jason, who couldn't be with us Tuesday morning, were able to see it. And once again, very cool event on Tuesday with the band Korn.
Ralph, you have an email?
I do. This comes from listener Kevin Solis. Ralph, I was listening to you guys talk about how sometimes meeting your heroes doesn't always work out.
Mm-hmm.
I was so enthralled when Buzz Aldrin came on the air that I completely forgot about a chance meeting I had with my heroes. You guys.
What?
You were doing a morning show at the Santa Fe Springs swap meet a couple years back.
I remember that.
And my kids and I are big fans, so I got them up extra early to see the show before school started.
Yeah.
I had a short time while there, and we were able to get some pictures. Let's see. Here's one with you, Ralph. Here's one with Bean, and one with, wait a minute. We walked past Kevin, who was rummaging around some swap meet items, and I said in a pleasant tone, Kevin, can I get a picture with the kids? He hardly looked up and said, I'm busy. Then went back to looking around at the junk. So now my kid's story is not so much meeting the K-Rock staff, which they loved. It's being dissed by Kevin.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That wasn't me.
Kevin would never say that.
I would never say that. No. That's crazy.
But he had a chance to be his hero, and that's what you did. That's how you came at him.
That's not me.
Why do you hate little brown kids, Kevin? What's up with that?
While we're talking about meeting your heroes and how it went wrong, I got many emails about this. We had it ready to go yesterday. We just didn't have time because Buzz Aldrin talked for about an hour. But this first email says, please play the clip of money getting burned by that guy from the Bears. He got to talk to his hero and got hung up on it. Doesn't get any better than that. And this one says, all I have to say is money plus Ditka equals hilarious. Please call play the calls, Jason. Here you go. Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
He's
hung up.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
He's a better guy than we thought. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, the people have spoken.
What have they spoken about?
Good news for them, bad news for you.
For me?
Let me read you a quick email, will you?
Uh-oh.
Ralph, a week ago, my uncle's cancer returned for the fifth time. My girlfriend in 3 years broke up with me and moved out with any warning. Then my grandfather told me he had 2 weeks to live because of a very fast-acting cancer he didn't realize he had.
Dude.
You made all the sadness go away with the Amadeus songs. I miss those so much. Thanks, Jeffrey Patch. Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, and you're right. It's not nice to make up stories.
I am doing the Lord's work, and so I will continue to do so. It's back. It's back and better than ever.
Isn't the people?
You're dead to me.
It's just the person.
It's that guy.
Hey, Ralph. Here's a real quick email before I get to the showbiz news. Real quick
Ralph,
email.
Ralph, the people elected George Bush twice, okay? Do you really want to go to the people?
Hi, Ralph. It's amazing that Rodney on the Rock is getting his own star on the Walk of Fame. That's fantastic. Not only has he been pivotal in the history of music of L.A., but he's such a unusual personality. As a matter of fact, my wife Molly and I were just debating who was more distinctive, Rodney or Liberace. But we've come to the conclusion, Rodney is the gayest. It's moved on from Anna Nicole Smith to Rodney.
How do the people
nothing
do
these people can't do.
Anyone
it
smell?
The gayest is the gayest. Is the gayest is the gayest is the gayest. Is the gayest, is the gayest, is the gayest. Oh, 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 is the gayest.
Rodney is the gayest.
Gee, I wonder why he hates us.
Kevin and Bean coming to the ceremony?
No.
Good.
I don't blame him.
Come on, does it feel good if Amadeus back, though?
No,
well,
it's been too
long. It's good that it's done now. That now that it's Friday, it's the last show, Bisbee. We don't have to hear it anymore, and now we're finished forever, right?
You insane?
Oh, I get it now. That's funny. But seriously, I hate you, and I hope you get hit by a truck.
Wow. Jeez, just trying to give the people what they want.
Just saying.
Actress Salma Hayek is pregnant with her first child. Her representatives have confirmed the fact to the New York Daily News and to Star Magazine. The dad is reportedly François-Henri Pinault.
Mohinder?
No, nope. Pinault. He is the CEO of a company which owns Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent.
Nice.
He's a fag.
No, he is not.
Stop it.
And no word on whether... Oh, yeah, apparently they are engaged. They're going to get married as well. So it's going to make an honest woman out of her. Can you imagine what size her boobs are going to grow to when she's pregnant? Yeah. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's going to be dangerous.
Just good things.
It's going to be like a dairy A-bomb going off when that kid tries to suckle. When he tries to get that first meal after 9 months.
Yeah.
Ba-boom! We're going to burst.
Knock up across the room.
And the K-Rock microphones will be there to hear it, I'm sure.
Sama? Sama?
Just when you thought the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing was over, the cops in the Bahamas have announced they've uncovered new evidence in the investigation into her death. That means the toxicology reports from the autopsy will be delayed yet again. The medical examiner's office says now the final results will be out in a week or two.
Right.
Ralph, can you go to Las Vegas? I know there are lots of places you can bet on lots of things. Can you bet on who will be buried first, James Brown or Anna Nicole Smith?
Well, she's been buried.
Oh, that's right.
This is just, they have samples that they're testing, and they need some further testing before they release
the final
results.
But they might still dig her up, right?
Oh, I'm sure there's always that possibility.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, no.
You can always hope. Speaking of death, as James Bean mentioned, James Brown is still not quite buried.
I love quite or this. Not at all.
Well, not at all.
It's either a yes or no.
Really, you're in or out.
James's relatives say they still want some DNA samples taken from the body because there are some unresolved questions regarding the paternity of some children that women are presenting, saying are the scion of James Brown.
Does some equal a certain number, or is
I
it
have
just
no idea
mass?
How many, but there's at least a couple.
Oh, many could come out
100.
Of the woodwork, I'm
there's
sure.
At least a couple we have to nail down there, so we'll find that out. And speaking,
hey, our security guard Charles, by the way, is no James Brown, but he did tour with Little Richard for all those years. He doesn't even know how many kids he has, and he was a drummer in a band. Can you imagine how many James Brown must have?
That's true.
Hundreds.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Charles spent so much of his young life touring on tour buses and going around the country that he never learned how to drive a car until he was 49 years old.
What?
49.
No way.
When he finally learned how to drive a car.
49 years old?
Never had to. Never had any reason for it.
Unbelievable.
Scary.
That guy rules.
But he was keeping it funky, though.
Oh, always.
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 He always says that to me as I go out to my car. Keep it funky.
Keep it funky.
Who really keeps it funky less than me? I mean, really.
Just me.
Then Lisa.
Yeah.
And then Lisa.
That's right.
Cow.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
He may not be much in the personality department, but he's got some sperm.
Yes, he does.
Word is coming out. Well, first of all, we know he already knocked up his ex-girlfriend, actress Bridget Monaghan. She's pregnant with his kid. Now, claims are coming out of Brazil that Gisele Bündchen may be pregnant.
Oh, jackpot.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So, boys got to learn how to put on a condom.
Two women at the same time. That can't
Two
go well.
Two smoking hot women at the same time. Dating one, just broke up with the other one.
Did Tom Brady have a comment? Because you know how worked up he gets whenever anything good happens in his life.
I'm really looking forward to being a father. I think it's Belichick's stud program. I think he's planning for the QBs of the future. He wants to start raising as many little Bradys as possible. Get them ready for the farm team.
I can see that.
Today's celebrity birthdays? Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah.
Here they are. Emmanuel Lewis from Webster, 36 years old today. It's got to suck to be 36 and look like you're 8.
Yeah. And the final question for Emmanuel Lewis, do birds ever pick you up and carry you off to their nests?
No, but that would be interesting.
So cute. Linda Fiorentino.
Oh.
She was in Men in Black. She was in The Last Seduction. Listener reminded me she was in a movie called Jade.
Yeah, I remember that.
With David Caruso from CSI Miami. Yeah. She's very sexy in that. She's 47 years old today. Keir Smith from Dawson's Creek. And Justice turns 35 years old today. And who else? Whose birthday? Chingy. That's right. Chingy's birthday. Chingy celebrates his 25th birthday today. So, Chingy, happy birthday, Chingy. Have a very Chingy birthday.
That's how he rolls.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
They might as well bury Linkin Park while they're burying Rodney Bingenheimer later on today, unless they're eventually going to make another album, because otherwise, you know, they're just taking up space.
Coming out soon, dude.
All right. The Bangles have a new album. By the way, we're playing Bangles next.
Rodney's not dead, Dean. They're not burying him. It's the star on the Walk of Fame.
How can you be sure? Can you really be sure?
No, but
that's
I mean,
what I'm saying.
He's getting a star on the Walk of Fame today at 11:30.
One way or the other. Dead or alive. That's what you're saying.
A lot of people get them posthumously. It does happen. Come on, Kevin.
It's at 7021 Hollywood Boulevard starting at 11:30 this morning, and we thought we would honor the man, the myth, the legend, Rodney Bingenheimer.
And now, another great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
I'm out of here. Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. I doubt it. Ever get sleep where I live. Okay. I'm a robot. But anyway, I'm out of here, and hopefully everything will work out, and be safe and sane on Halloween, and remember, don't eat those apples with the razor blades in them.
That was a great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
That's good advice. And, you know, it's interesting that Rodney is getting a star as a broadcaster. You know, they have five different categories that they can choose when they pick you for the Hollywood Rock of Fame.
Right.
He's not getting one as a recording artist because, let's not forget, Rodney, you know, is also a singer. He's also an entertainer.
Well, if you're talking about I Hate the 90s, the international sensation.
What happened to medium and small t-shirts? What happened to a spot on the top? Mark Twain never had one. She's gone yet.
She is.
Are you kidding me? That's Grammy material.
You think that the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce was having a meeting and they said, all right, next up for consideration for the star is Rodney Bingenheimer. What do you got? And they put on this song, and once they got to He's She's Godhead, they said, all right, that's our guy. He gets the star.
Where did he get all that energy? When was the last time Rodney yelled?
Cola.
He was yelling that song.
Diet Cola gave me energy.
You're going to have to give us more, Rodney. It's the 90s. No, more. You got to get louder.
I think there are very few things that he is passionate about, but girls in tube tops is one of them, and I think that's where the energy comes from.
So funny. He hated the 90s, and the 90s hated him right back.
That's true. And by the way, he hated the 90s because they weren't the 60s.
Sure.
Not the 80s. So I will see your I Hate the 90s and raise you teenage woman.
My greatest hit ever.
In the gentle tradition of cannabis, we have an American.
Now you're going to think we made this up, but we did not make this up. This is actually real.
Oh, teenage woman, come live with me in my dirty room behind the ranch market.
No.
Let me show you off to all my friends on the Sunset Strip. Don't flirt with any other long-haired boys. I'm the prettiest little boy in the whole wide world. It took me 2.5 hours to wash and dry my beautiful, fluffy hair.
Rodney, Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC. Don't you have a seat? So, what is it exactly like to do with this teenage woman?
For you, my teenage princess, living in your teenage dream, let me be your teenage everything. I'll be yours tonight. Like a buccaneer of love, you'll be my turtle dove.
So apparently you plan to come over and play buccaneer with this teenage woman. Does that seem like it's okay to you?
Of sweetness. I'll be your stallion. We'll go love to...
He's going to be her stallion.
You're a chat log. You want to be a stallion. You want her to ride you.
Is there less of a stallion on this planet than Rodney?
I'd say you're more of a pony.
Together in our teenage meadows of infinity, dear sweet meat, our teddy bear of ecstasy.
I'm sorry. What did you say, dear sweet meat?
The first thing on the log you said called her sweet meat, and she was a teddy bear of ecstasy. Did you bring drugs with you?
Come share my laundry. In visions of the universe, be my teenage woman. To me, my teenage love goddess. Ruff, ruff, I love you.
Well, I'm Chris Hansen from Daylight NBC, but you're free to go, Rodney. You can leave anytime you want.
Did he say woof, woof, I love you?
I believe he did, yes.
Woof, woof, I want you. Woof, woof, please be mine. Oh, woof, woof. Oh, teenage woman. Oh, teenage woman.
Come on.
Oh, teenage woman. Oh, teenage.
And check.
I think we know what he's doing, Kevin, and that's why it's so horrendous. Oh, make it stop.
Stan.
It's not too late for them to not give him a star, right? I mean,
but
they
can
make that
money.
Decision.
Remember?
I know, but...
These just photos saying. You sent over the internet, Rodney, are these your genitals?
Pickle from Cantor's.
And now, another great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
Well, the first time I actually did hear that song, I was in Santa Cruz. And I remember being in a car and had all the windows by people who were driving home. And we blasted it out the window. Even though And, anyway,
That was a great moment in the history of Rodney on the Rock.
I'm sorry. I'm only hearing the last second of the song. Who's that by?
That's Bush. Time for Kevin and Bean's What I Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067 to get on the air. You get a prize.
Not funny, then really funny after you do it enough. That's kind of the what I'm going for.
That's the secret.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Here are the prizes on the table for you today if your call is good. $25 Pizza Hut gift certificate plus a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Kings take on the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday, March 15th. That is at Staples Center.
All right, let's...
Blackhawks.
Yes?
Whatever happened to Alex at dating black dudes?
I don't think
I don't
ever
think they emailed them in.
Well, they do have a couple of offers.
She rejects them even on the air?
No. They reject her. She's
something we didn't, talk much about.
Siobhan Watkins approached me about it.
How about Siobhan?
I met Siobhan. And I said, hey, can we talk to you about it on the air and stuff like that? He's like, no, my parents are very religious.
Religious black people?
No.
For folks who didn't hear, assistant producer Alex, who's the super whore, has never been with a brother. And we thought, how weird is that? And she says it's not because she's not interested or she doesn't find them attracted. For some reason, they don't dig her. She's met black guys. They've chatted her up at a party or something like that, and then they go off with somebody else. So we thought, well, we need to right that wrong, but we haven't exactly been inundated with the black man trying to get with Alex.
Well, you guys are weak. So I'm going to have to take it upon myself. What we're going to do, we'll have to schedule a break. We'll have black dudes call in, and we'll do the dating game live on the air. We'll have three black chillers, and we'll have Alex interview them. We'll give her some questions, and then she'll have to choose blatchler number one, blatchler number two, or blatchler number three.
And you think I'm going to say that?
Yes. And then we'll laugh, and then make another moment with Kevin, and then we'll go on, and then we'll send them away to a fabulous trip somewhere with they can have lovely sex.
And then they get to know her, though, right? I mean, yes. That's the goal.
Okay. It's part of the deal, yeah. Okay.
All right, let's do that next week. That's a great idea.
All right.
We can call it black.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sure. Okay. All right. Josh must be lying because this can't be true. Josh in Glendale, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Josh.
Lisa May, how you doing?
Good.
Hear how the tone changed?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I got the sexy voice.
Lisa.
How you doing? How you doing? By the way, Psycho Mike.
Okay. Thanks, man. All right, don't need that.
Everyone's getting their salutation.
I don't know if Ralph has heard about this since American Idol is like his favorite show ever, but I swear that they said that Borat is going to appear on American Idol.
No.
I heard that.
No.
He might... They're not sure what he's going to do yet. Either he's either going to, like, hump Simon or be, like, a guest judge or something, but he's going to appear and, like, making a guest appearance.
He doesn't sing.
I think what the deal is, Ralph, please correct me if I'm wrong, is they're doing a benefit show, a charity show to raise money for kids in Africa or something like that. So they're doing an all-star thing with a bunch of guest stars. Gwen Stefani is supposed to be on it. Josh Groban, Borat. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of like a star-studded event night.
Idol Gives Back, I think, is the name of the charity.
That's what it's called, yeah. Ah.
They have had a gonorrhea many times. A lady is very much like a Borat. High five.
Yeah.
I also had other disease in this area.
Do you know what they were?
I once catch a herpes from my sister.
That means you had sexual relations with your sister.
Yes.
Did you have sexual relations with any other family members?
No, I am not sick.
Kevin, I know you love Borat. You said it's one of your favorite movies of all time, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Will you tune in to see him if he's on American Idol?
I imagine.
Okay. They got you, man. Now they probably got the last man in America.
It's just
the last person who's not watching.
But they're not going to hook me unless he uses a permanent fixture on it. Then
that's what your heroin dealer said.
That is what he
first
said.
Free.
William in Westminster, good morning.
What did you do, nephew? What did you do, baby boo?
Hey, William.
Now, see, he was bored with you. See, William had a little more energy for us than he did you.
Yeah, he says he's probably slept with her.
All right, go ahead.
And all my energy comes from when I saw 300 at 2:30 in the morning today.
Oh, wow. IMAX. Yeah, it opened at midnight last night at a lot of theaters, the new film.
Did you see on IMAX?
On IMAX. Oh. I had to go see it on IMAX, so at 2:30 in the morning, greatest movie you can see on IMAX, and then it ended with a man puking on me.
You're kidding.
At the movie? Somebody in the theater did?
Half the theater was already drunk, and as we're going out,
I'm with my friend. I feel a hand come on my shoulder.
Yes.
And then something warm runs down the side of my shirt.
That's not a hand.
Lucky it was vomit, man.
I just threw up.
Oh. Wow, that's bad. So good news, bad news. The movie's great, right?
Oh, the movie is awesome.
And it's showing on IMAX screens as well, so I'm thinking
of... It is so worth being puked on for it.
All right, well, you don't. Most of us don't have to go through that, but okay. Thanks.
It's so funny you should mention this.
Jane, what's up, Ralph?
It's good to see you, Ralph.
Good to see you.
He was talking about something warm running down his arm. How'd you like something warm running down your forehead?
Oh, no.
Well, you're not even trying to...
That's the problem.
Yep. Novel about them. Now you're just... It's bordering on assault.
It's bad on every level.
The police might have to show up.
Frankie in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What's up, guys? What did you and F.U.?
What did you?
What is this, Frankie?
Corrected himself. Go ahead.
Anyway, so a few weeks ago, I was sitting in traffic, and all of a sudden, I just start honking because they closed the freeway. We were sitting there for like an hour.
Right.
And so...
Now, wait a minute. I just want to interrupt here and say, so the road is closed, everyone has stopped, and you thought, if I honk, things will move. It'll open right up.
Yeah, I'm from New York, so I'm crazy.
Okay.
So whatever. So, this midget gets out of his car, and he looks really pissed. I'm like, what the hell is he going to do? He gets out a Big Mac and throws it at my windshield.
Was he the car in front of you?
Yeah, he was in the car in front of me. And I'm like, I don't know what to do at this point. Like, I don't want to hurt a midget. Like, I can, like, squash him, you know? So, like...
You have to defend yourself, though, right?
No, I didn't. I'm all like, just get back in your car. And as soon as I got out of my car, he got all scared. He just went back in his car.
Well, I would have kicked his little ass all over that freeway. I'm telling you right now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, thank you, Frankie. Story well told. All right. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Let's do this one, because Dan is going to be spectacular. Dan in Riverside, good morning.
What did you do, Rathap?
Hi, Dan.
What did you do?
What did you do to you?
Hey, all right, I got a problem. I just nailed my best friend's mom. I need to know what I need to do.
You nailed your best friend's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what do you mean what you need to do? It sounds like you've already done it.
Well, do I tell him, or do I just...
No.
This one smells to me, too.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, do I keep on...
Hey, I nailed my friend now. So what should I do? Should I tell him?
Well, should I keep on doing her?
Yes!
Oh.
Right. Come on with a better story when you call
him. Yeah, why don't you just admit you wanted free Kings tickets? Why don't you just tell us that?
Oh, I hate the Kings. I'm a...
Oh, how dare you. All right, I'm hanging up on you.
All right.
He didn't do his best for that long.
No. You don't think so?
Totally no.
Bogus. He's from Riverside. They're a little bit retarded out there. It's hard to tell.
He would have done his sister then.
Dude, I'm going to be on the radio. This is what I'm going to tell him.
That was bad.
Why don't we close with Jessica from Temple City? We're heading into the weekend here. Hang on. Jessica's going to be good because you're heading into the weekend. You're thinking, well, I'm going to find me some ladies or maybe meet a nice guy this weekend. Maybe some cautionary advice before we let you go for the week. Hi, Jessica. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What'd it do?
What did you, nephew? What did you, Lisa?
Hi, Jessica.
Okay, so I went out with the girls the other night, went out to the bar, had a couple drinks, and the guy comes up to me and goes, just give me 2 minutes. What are you supposed to say that? Yeah, let me go ahead and get on the pool table over here. Let's go at it.
Yes.
Well, is it possible he was saying, just let me talk to you for 2 minutes, and then you'll see what a great personality I have? Just don't blow me off before I have a chance to chat? Is that what he was saying?
No, not at all.
Not at all. He was saying sex.
Yeah.
Okay. How was it?
It was never going to happen.
Oh, you didn't do it. Okay.
At least it was better than saying, give me a minute, though. He had a minute on there.
I guess, yeah.
He's nothing if not honest.
So just give me 2 minutes, then we should scratch that off the list of things to say.
Maybe figures if he goes through, you'll be excited about it.
He doesn't want to promise more than he can deliver.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Jessica. Bye now.
Okay. I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including the great actor Samuel L. Jackson, currently in theaters with Black Snake Moan. Also, thanks to our pal Drew Curtis. He is the creator of FARC.com. The book is called It's Not News, It's FARC, How Mass Media Tries to Pass Off Crap as News. That's in stores on May 31st. And thanks to Kurt Russell for joining us, too. He is in Quentin Tarantino's new film called Death Proof. It's part of a double feature with a Robert Rodriguez show called Planet Terror, and that opens up on Friday, April the 6th. Ralph, you're going to go check out out some of those double features he was telling us about, I imagine, at the New Beverly, huh?
I love those old school grindhouse movies, absolutely. They used to air them back in the day, like local TV stations would air them in the afternoons on the weekends and stuff.
Are they on DVD?
Edited, but some of them are, yeah. There's a series out of films like that you can get on DVD.
Fantastic.
But this is amazing. New Beverly Cinema has it going on right now with double features all month long, and I guess some of these prints come right out of Quentin Tarantino's private collection. He is quite the collector of the old movies. But, I mean, you know, where else are you going to go see The Blood-Splattered Splattered Bride, Asylum of Blood, and Mary, Mary, Bloody Mary all on one bill? I mean, that's a triple feature right there.
That's a date movie is what that is.
All right, Monday morning we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have to put the King of Mexico on suicide watch as I'm going to serve him soundly in Guitar Hero.
Oh, it's on.
I've had it with him mouthing off about how he's good at Guitar Hero.
Wow.
You talk.
Kick his ass.
Well, I don't know.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yeah. Dave's got a lot more time than you do.
Dinner is served.
By the way.
Yes, he does.
I'm betting on Dave.
Hey, how dare you? How dare you?
I am.
I got $20 as my buddy Kevin takes.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Also, we're going to continue planning.
Are you any good?
No. The Guinness World Record, standing Armenian comedian, cutting more hair in 24 hours than anyone ever has before. We're going to continue planning that. We have Rise Against live music in the studio.
Great.
Excellent.
They're coming in. The Pope, for some reason, is going to have a fight with Bob Dylan. I don't know what's going on with that. There's some
drink boxing. They're going to drink, and then they're going
to
fight.
I don't know who to bet on for that one.
We're also looking for the worst driving record on Monday's Kevin and Bean Show. And this weekend is a K-Rock New Rock weekend. We got a ton of new K-Rock music. You get a New Rock CD six-pack, and you qualify for one of three trips we're giving away on Monday morning. Three different trips to Austin, Texas. Now, you may not know about the South by Southwest. You probably do, but if you don't, it is one of the biggest new band showcases in the world. And hundreds of bands downtown Austin. There's just bar after bar after bar. So drinking and music till you die.
Such a fun city.
Three trips on Monday.
Sounds horrible.
Oh, no, it's fantastic.
Party and live new music.
Oh, it's honest.
Jeez.
So we're going to do that on Monday morning at 7:15 and also give you details on K-Rock's Ultimate Spring Break. Back to you, Bean.
Well, usually you hit a button and then a song plays, and that's how the show ends.
That does work that way normally.
And you were sitting
at what song? Spontaneous. Sorry.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
Enough.
Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love fun.
Cow.
Roll another one.
Oh, hi, did you want to buy some drugs?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about quit. And I need another hit.
And here's where I come in and tell you that Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Survive New from Nine Inch Nails. Also, AFI, Nirvana, new music from The Bravery, Bad Religion, and more. Have a great week.
Roll, 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 another one.
Marriage one is made good.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be around.
Wanna get high?
No.
I think you do, Mom. Well, kids, I'll see you later.
Okay, folks, show's over. Move along. Yeah, nothing to see here, folks. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Okay.
I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
Where'd everybody go?
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.